Crushing through the lies and disinformation, it's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the InfoWar.
Turns bloody in Berkeley. Our KPIX 5 crews were right in the middle of the chaos as both Trump supporters and anti-Trump activists come to blows.
Protesters followed Trump supporters to their cars as they left the convention center. Around the corner and away from police protection on San Carlos Street, a mob mentality took over.
You voted Trump! You voted Trump!
Yeah! What do you say to the people who dragged a poor white guy out of a car and beat him?
Oh, my goodness, poor white people, please, oh, my, stop.
These were pure attacks. Trump supporters, men, women, even the elderly, left this building last night and walked right into danger.
This Trump supporter was the first casualty of the day, with blood streaming out of his face.
Pro-Trump and anti-Trump protesters got into it.
They're throwing things at the guy who has a Trump shirt on. Oh, he just got knocked in the back of the head. He just got punched in the face.
We're saying if you're out there and you're trying to represent your First Amendment right to free speech, if somebody comes and attacks you, it's your right to defend yourself.
It got ugly. Violence erupting at the event as fights broke out, fists flying between Trump supporters and anti-Trump supporters. It gets pretty ugly.
Yeah, I want to warn the folks watching at home, you're about to see some very violent footage.
Do you want to fight? You better believe.
Organizers say today's rallies were meant as a show of unity against what they call a seditious fringe allegedly trying to sabotage the president.
You can see there a FedEx delivery driver jumping in to try to put an end to the protest.
You don't like, get the out.
Just the strength in numbers. I don't give it to 8 lifts. You want to come at, you better be 100 of you against one of me, because that's what it's going to take.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are broadcasting worldwide on this Tuesday, the 23rd day of January 2018. Now, I've got a lot of sources, obviously, in Congress. I've got sources in the Pentagon. I've got sources in federal law enforcement. I've got sources in academia. I've got sources in the press. I've got sources across the board. And in the last few days, I have basically reverse engineered what is in the bombshell congressional memo. And then I've checked with my sources without them revealing anything secret, played the little game of, is this accurate? Is that accurate? Would this be what's in it? Would that be what's in it? And because I already know what's in it by studying the entire compendium and being in the center of the so-called Russia investigation as well, because of all that knowledge, I have been able to reverse engineer it. And then I've been able to check with people that have seen the memo or who were part of the memo or who were part of pieces of the memo. And they have said that basically my analysis of the memo is dead on and that the memo will probably be released by next week. Maybe even sooner. There's a big fight behind the scenes. Congressman Schiff of California, who's been quarterbacking the whole Russia hoax at the House level, is battling to stop its release because it's going to come back in the end to Congress and the Democrats. Folks, they all got in a room together. The Democrats all got in a room together when he was president-elect. That's what's in the memo. And I'm going to reveal that today. I'm going to reveal what's in the memo. Get ready, exclusively, tomorrow's News Today.
Big Brother. mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
Ladies and gentlemen, InfoWars and our team of investigative journalists and our sources have been able to reverse engineer the bombshell congressional memo on the FISA court's activities and the FBI's activities, the Justice Department's activities, congressional Democrats' activities, the Democratic Party's activities, Hillary Clinton's activities, the FBI director at the time, James Comey, activities. And we know what is in the memo. And we know why they are attempting to not have it released to the public or have it heavily redacted. Because the Democrats, during the campaign, thought Hillary was invincible and began to illegally surveil the president. Then they did what you call parallel construction to cover themselves and later went and got a warrant, that too based on fraud. And as you've already seen the last month, the drip, drip, drip bombshells, all of these like atomic bombs dropping on the heads of the deep state and the criminal Clinton crime network, the cabal, the La Cosa Nostra, which means our secret society, our secret thing. La Cosa Nostra means our secret society, our secret thing. And I've said for weeks, it is a La Cosa Nostra style cabal of the highest levels of the Clinton crime network that they started putting in place in 1993 that Bush pretty much went along with. I mean, they're like family members. They vacation together. Barbara Bush calls him Bill Clinton, her son. They run the same scam foundations together. So from 1993 right through to Barack Obama in 2017, leaving office on January 20th, they've got at the top of the FBI more than 70% of the key personnel in place, as well as the Justice Department. I mean, it is a nightmare. For 26 years, they have been stacking the federal courts, stacking the FISA court, stacking the Justice Department, stacking the FBI at the top. And if you're not a globalist Democrat ready to cover up their crimes, you don't get into any positions of power. It's absolutely true that the average rank and file FBI agent is a hardworking person. I mean, I grew up, knew FBI agents that were working 18 hours a day with kidnappings and bank robberies and money laundering and, you know, just risking their lives. But that's your local FBI. At the top, it's super political. It's always been political, but now it's globalist Democrat crime syndicate. And so it hit me last night as I was going to bed about midnight and I'd made a bunch of calls that, wow, I've got to get up in the morning and really get up early and kind of codify all this together and present it, because we know what's in the memo. We predicted and knew what the FBI was doing before, what the Clintons were doing. We've laid all that out, how they had a cabal inside, how they were fixing the intelligence, how they lied to get the FISA court, how they illegally surveilled Trump Tower, myself included. We broke all that with the guest, with the eyewitnesses, with the people that have testified behind closed doors in Congress, multiple guests we've had on that have been part of this whole thing. And they're sworn to secrecy and not supposed to talk about it, but then the Democrats selectively put out pieces of transcripts that are edited. So they're not playing by the rules here. So I got up this morning, took care, made breakfast, hung out with the children, got them off to school, and have tried to collate all this together to present it. And you know, I've decided what I'm going to do is, I'm going to tell you the contents of the memo in the last segment of this hour. But before that, I'm going to roll through the history of it and what we already know and what's been admitted. And then I'm going to give you finally what's in there. The reason it's so bombshell is that the memo is the findings of stated fact and other documents and witnesses of the FBI and the Justice Department trying to frame the president and his voters as Russian dupes or Russian agents, getting illegal warrants, then covering it up, then destroying the 5,000 text messages. It's a lot more than that between Strzok and Page. And the paying of money through the FBI to Fusion GPS to the family members of FBI agents and everybody else, and more documents pertaining to how these individuals did that, and the fact that they've already been caught talking about how they were forming a shadow government, how they were forming a cabal, how they were forming a secret society. And all of that has pretty much already come out. But what's important is the connections to how Hillary Clinton was directing the whole thing through the Democratic Party. And now we have congressional testimony that's been given by the head of Fusion GPS, where he says people are being killed in association with the dossier. Well, that's actually true. But it's people that could expose how they manufactured it, and it's people that could expose how they were planning to steal the election and how they did steal the election. You know, people that got shot in the back in Washington, D.C. And that's why you see Donna Brazile coming out and distancing herself from Hillary and all this. And that's why you've got the missing laptops being found by the Capitol Police, and they won't turn them over, even though Debbie Wasserman Schultz is on television in their meeting threatening them if they don't. And she's shaking because she knows what's on that laptop. So the memo connects the dots. And it's a lengthy, quote, memo. It's really a real dossier. And it just shows the web of how this is all interconnected. That's why you've seen Jim Jordan and them going back over a month and a half ago going, you know, I feel like when we finally get these people to testify and find out what's happening, I feel like Strzok and McCabe and all them probably met and decided to make up this dossier and decided to take it to the FISA court, and that the president had to order the FISA court to issue it. And I feel like we're going to learn you guys were all in a cabal and knew it was all a big lie. And I feel he doesn't feel like he's got all the documents. It's just secret. And then, of course, a week later, all that came out. They're letting the Democrats know what they're going to do. So now FBI Strzok and Page spoke of secret society after Trump election. Trump had been elected. It's November 9th. And they say, we are forming the secret society now. We're forming our own organization, our thing. We're forming our new organization. Call it a secret society today. We're going to go meet with the deputy director tomorrow. And they marched in there and they cooked up this whole criminal conspiracy in there and even called it a secret society. Because that's what secret societies were, the old intelligence agencies, like the NSA, the CIA, the FBI. That's what you called them, was secret societies. And then in the modern day, they go, those don't exist. That's crazy. No, they formed a La Cosa Nostra. And I don't mean it's an Italian operation, but La Cosa Nostra means our thing, our secret thing. And so they have a family with Robert Mueller, with Comey, with McCabe, and all these people under them, and Fusion GPS to fence the fraud, to fence the lie, and then bring it back, and then try to push it, and the whole desperate thing's falling apart. And I've now talked to sources that have seen sections of the memo, and it is going to absolutely devastate the Democrats. And I wouldn't be surprised if Comey and if Mueller and if Hillary Clinton does not go to prison, because they've broke the rules here. They've gone so far. The word is they are going to be indicted. They are going to go to prison for massive conspiracy against the Republic.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all
part of bubblegum.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are only days, maybe a week max, away from the total devastation of the Democratic Party leadership for their organized, brazen criminal plot to overturn the election of President Trump and remove him from office by framing him for Russian collusion when there was absolutely zero evidence of it. Now they've moved on to hopefully finding some type of obstruction or perjury when they're the ones in front of Congress, Mueller, Comey, all of them, caught lying over and over and over again. And so in the final segment of this hour, I'm going to just lay out the intel that I've been told is in the memo. But the secret congressional memo on the, quote, FISA court is the story of the illegal spying, then illegally getting the warrant, lying about it, then trying to classify it, then the NSA director calling Trump the first week he's in office, laying it all out. Trump saying, I've been illegally spied on. The media saying, you're insane, that never happened. Comey testifying to Congress, along with many others, saying it never happened when they were involved. That's coming out in the memo. The memo is really a blueprint for an indictment. It's a prosecution's case to the grand jury, the American people. That's what it is. When they say it's bombshell, it's going to lay it all out. Who did what? How they did it? The evidence? They've got everything. Trump's got the whole NSA file now. The unmasking, Susan Powers, Rice, all of it. Samantha Powers, Rice, all of it. I mean, it's all right there, ladies and gentlemen. And it's the brazen chutzpah, bravada, hubris, craziness that they would do this and now commit all these crimes to cover it up. So I'm trying to collate because there's so much evidence, so many pieces I want to get to. This is so big, I'm tempted to go off the air and have Owen Schroyer come host the show and just go spend 2 hours in my office and try to really codify it, because I've got all the evidence, I've got the sources, I know what's in the memo, I know it's a blueprint for indictment, it's bombshell proof, it's perjury, it's conspiracy to defraud the voters, it's conspiracy to frame the president, and it's all there. And you notice they keep telling you, we feel like this is what's happening, they already have it. And then they release it. Jim Jordan, Nunes, Trey Gowdy, everybody. And you've got the Democrats now, the congressional Democrats that met with Hillary and others in the 2 months before the president got inaugurated. And there's records of that reportedly. And then there's the FBI records and the text messages and the emails about, we got to get an insurance policy. We got to form a secret society. We're going to stop this guy. And that's the stuff we've got. And now it's been reported that the type of Galaxy phones they were issued, hard code, all the text messages on them. Well, everybody already knows that. None of that's ever erased. You've got to have a special technician that knows how to go in and delete that stuff. I can't tell you how many times we've accidentally deleted something and we just have an expert go in and pull it back up. Out of the trash, and it's more sophisticated than that. There's another copy as well. And so they have been caught now saying 5,000 text messages between these two FBI agents have been deleted by accident. BleachBit creator, ex-FBI experts question loss of Peter Strzok's text. Well, absolutely. It's ridiculous. So there's so many moving parts here that my head is spinning right now. But the bombshell of them saying we got to have an insurance policy, we got to meet, we can't let this guy stay in office, First, they got to have an insurance policy when he's running for office. Then when he wins, okay, we got to form the conspiracy. We got to form the secret society. We got to stop him. We're going to meet with the deputy director tomorrow. On and on and on. And that's just what they've released so far, hoping the Democrats give up and roll over, because this is going to be a firestorm. This is going to be very, very dangerous for the country. A sharp digital forensics expert may still be able to recover them, said Andrew Zime, creator of BleachBit, the software that Hillary Clinton subordinates used to clear information from her private server. In general, whenever the software deletes any information, traces are left of the storage device, though they become disorganized like the proverbial needle in a haystack. But they build in back doors, is what he's telling you, where the government wants to be able to go back in and there's a breadcrumb trail, because it's all still there, to then reproject the skeletal map onto it to be able to pull it back off. And we've got the man that developed a lot of this, Dr. William Binney, former technical head of the National Security Agency, joining us in the second hour to talk about all this. So we'll get a top expert for you on that, and we'll pick his brain on air as well. So that's the magnitude of what we're dealing with. But yes, you get tomorrow's news today. I have made a lot of phone calls to top experts, and we have all the pieces, and we have what the congressional folks have already been hinting at for months, that then the next week they release word for word. Remember that tape I played a month and a half ago, Jim Jordan saying, you know, I kind of feel like they all went to McCabe's office and they said, we got to stop the president getting in, or got to remove him, got to have some type of insurance policy. Kind of feel like it was all a cabal of them working together, to stop all this and to create this fraud. And that's just what I feel like might be there, because he has a high-level security clearance and has seen it all. And the next week, exactly, that's released. So I've talked to folks that have seen sections of what's been put in the investigation. It's an investigational finding, a blueprint. It's an impeachment, basically, of them. The House indicts, the Senate tries the president. Well, it's the same thing. The House has produced an indictment. That is what this memo is. It is a blueprint. It is a finding of fact from their own documents. It is a House indictment of the Clinton crime syndicate. Lois Lerner thing was huge. Ohio Representative Jim Jordan told the Daily Caller, my gut tells me this is probably bigger. Oh, his gut's telling him more. He's got all the documents of Lois Lerner. And it goes on and on and on with tarmac meetings with the former Justice Department head, Loretta Lynch, and all of it. It's all going to be there. How these people, this cabal of a few FBI agents and Justice Department, less than 30 people, put there by the Clintons, continued by Obama and others, how they protect the Clinton crime machine, protect the Obama crime machine, collect data to blackmail and attack and go after Christians, libertarians, conservatives, go after the churches, go after the 501c3s, you name it. Then they try to stop Trump with made-up stuff in the campaign. Then they get illegal wiretaps. Then they get caught. Then they get warrants. Then they lie about that. Then they try to cover up the whole crime. Then they lie to Congress. And it's all coming out. It's all coming out, criminals. Get ready.
We're breaking the conditioning.
InfoWars comes to mind.
Alex Jones.
Alex Jones.
Alex Jones.
But there's a lot of controversy around this network about Alex Jones.
Google is being accused of hiding negative stories about Hillary and her campaign by changing its algorithm to bury stories like the Clinton body count story. That's according to website InfoWars.
It sounds like it's confirmed there are at least two shooters with fully automatic weapons.
Dr. Martin Luther King has been shot to death in Memphis, Tennessee.
JFK was shot from the back and the front.
It was almost as if it were a planned implosion. It just pancaked.
They took the babies out of incubators and left the children to die on the cold floors.
I think this is a national security imperative. We have clear things that we do not understand how they work, operating in areas that we can't control. UFOs.
Is this global governance at last? Is it one world? The central bankers in charge.
Israel claims the attacks were accidental.
Some former U.S. naval officers say it was on purpose. They describe the day's action as part of a continuing cover-up.
Russian intelligence compiled a dossier on Mr. Trump during visits to Moscow.
Russian scum!
Denied everything. He called it all fake news.
And he accused CNN of being CNN. Fake news.
This is a national emergency.
If they kill Trump or remove Trump, it will cause a massive civil war in this country.
This is a FEMA high-level alert.
We are at war with Russia.
Are you aware that Mr. Stone also stated publicly that he was in direct communication with Julian Assange and WikiLeaks?
The White House and the President are citing InfoWars.
If they can shut us down, you're next.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. It's Alex Jones.
Okay, folks, I've got to go off air right now, and we've got a very powerful video that's on drudgereport.com. Where leftists throw fists, spit on people. It's a compilation of the Women's March. I got to go off air because William Binney, former technical head of the National Security Agency, the main technical advisor, obviously, on the big film Snowden, who's advised the president and the CIA director, Pompeo. He's now advising the president. He's going to be joining us next hour. He just said, hey, here, why don't you just have the actual memo they're talking about? Now, there's another memo they're writing about this memo, but here it is, just sent to us. I've got to go off air. This is the classified memo right here. I mean, I told you I have sources and that I'd reverse engineered it, but I guess the decision's been made by whoever's telling Benny to send this to us. Document cam, please. And it's a lot more is coming up after the break. Okay, this is happening right now. Can we do a document cam shot, please? Here it is, ladies and gentlemen, the first look. You want to look at it? Got the whole thing. In fact, the rest of it's coming out of the printer, guys. We bring it to me, please, the one by my office in the hall. Here it is. This is why I'm having trouble conducting the show here, the broadcast. United States Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court, Washington, D.C., April 26, 2017. Leanne Flynn Hall, clerk of the court. And it is not very redacted either. And it's classified, top secret. And then you want it, you got it. Tomorrow's news today. This is what Congress has got. But they've got an unredacted one, except for some code names. They've got one even less redacted than this. But this is nowhere in the press, by the way. I mean, I knew this was coming in earlier, and I was dealing with it, trying to conduct the broadcast while I knew all this was going on. And now I'm trying to go over all this. But here it is. Let's just get a document cam shot on this right now so I can send this out live. People can then stop it and rewind it, and the press and people can look at it and go back over it. There's page one. That's a good shot right there. There's page two, page three. Don't normally do this on air, but obviously this is important. Infowars.com/show if you want to see this. This is all how they did it to Trump, how they tracked it, all the spying. Good God. So it's all right here. Now, I want to explain, though. Congress is writing their report on this memo that's a roadmap to the perjury and the lying and all the rest of it. So that's a separate part, their report on the memo and then what it connects to. And the organized, brazen conspiracy to overturn the election and defraud the civil rights of U.S. citizens. I mean, the amount of crimes committed here are just absolutely staggering when you read this stuff. Their authorization, they say, for spying on Trump was weapons of mass destruction and working for a foreign intelligence operation. Look at the stuff they said to get this. So it just goes on, and obviously this is like trying to eat an elephant in one bite. I think for everybody's safety, we're just going to go ahead and post this and send out a link to this in the next 10 minutes. I'm going to go ahead and go to the video that's on drudgereport.com if you want to find it. If you're a radio listener, it's right in the middle of the site. Foul-mouthed liberals fart, spit, and throw fist at reporters. We also have new video where they're saying, we want to take conservatives and we're going to murder them. We're communists. We're going to chop their heads off. And everybody's like, yes, we're going to murder everyone. So that video is coming up as well. But I told you that I've been talking to a lot of folks that have seen the original actual memo they're talking about that we now have right here for you first. But then, as I'm saying, don't get confused. There's another memo, and they're hyping it, saying the contents of the memo, we're going to put a report out soon. And then they put a report out with this because this catches them in all the different lies and perjury. And remember CNN saying nobody's spying on Trump. MSNBC, the New York Times, you know, we made this up, and InfoWars made this up, and our guest made it up. We had William Benning on at the time, who is now advising the president. I'm just going to leave it at that. So you can put two and two together, but we appreciate Mr. Benny sending us this. And, of course, it was hiding in plain view, legally done. And I'm not at liberty to tell you yet, but we're not breaking any laws doing this right now. But this is why they hate us. Let's go to some of this video, and I may not even be able to come back in the next segment. I've got to get ready for this, and this is just coming in too fast. I'm Alex Jones. If you're listening to us on local affiliates, spread the word, Infowars.com/show. We need to probably change the headlines on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter that, you know, not that I'm going to break the contents of the FISA memo, but we are breaking it right now. Again, we deliver. We need your prayers, folks. Let's go out to break with some of these demonic-like people. Here it is.
You. Infowars. Your followers. All you Zion pigs. All you racist pigs. All you pieces of shit.
You're sad.
Info, you're fucking sad. Look at you. Look at you, you piece of shit.
Moving.
You're a fucking fascist pig.
Hi, yes, Horror Power. We're out here representing sex workers and equal rights for them, because a lot of the time they're excluded from these. And our jobs are just as important and just as valid as everybody else's. So power to the whores, power to every woman, trans, cis, women of color. All of us are together out here.
So is being a whore empowering for women?
For some women it is. And for the ones that it is not, that's their decision. And for the ones that it is, we're so often vilified by society that we have to work just as hard as any other marginalized group to be recognized as having autonomy over our own body. And that's like super offensive to a lot of the people in society.
This is amazing. So they're chanting, lock him up. Here's the funny thing. If they lock Trump up, the economy would crash, the stock market would crash, the borders would be wide open, and America would become a third world nation. And that's what they want. That's what they want. It's incredible.
You realize you're an idiot, right?
What did I say that's wrong, sir?
I don't really care what you said that's wrong. My point is that you're an idiot.
So you have no facts to base your statement.
That's absolutely not what I said, and you're distorting it. InfoWars sucks.
You called me. You called me an idiot for no reason. There he goes. There he goes.
Yeah, there I go.
There he goes. There he goes.
What are you doing?
I'm not going to do anything.
Of course.
Because you're a coward. Weren't you about to run away?
No, I was about to leave because I don't really feel like listening to assholes like you.
All right.
You want to put that on the air? Put that on the air.
Oh, will do. Will do. Thank you for that content. Don't worry, son. You can do better than your father.
How's this?
Is he going to fart? You farted at me? He farted at me. Oh, my God.
Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want to stop tyranny? Well, so does he. Live from the InfoWars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
Okay, I've got to go off air. Roger Stone, I've just made abreast of the information. I got to go make phone calls. I got the former head of the NSA coming on next hour who sent us this information just about an hour ago. So I've been on air. Not complaining here. It's just hard to do. Trying to host a show while I decide what to do with this. I've made the decision. I'm going to go to Zach, one of the producers, and Roger Stone here for this segment. You and I are going to go get this file. We're going to post it on Infowars.com right now, Kit. I've called Rob Dew and Nico Acosta, who are off doing a hiring deal right now, an interview. Told them, drop that. Give the guy $100 or something. Come back over here. All hands on deck at the newsroom. We have the secret memo. We have it first. And I'm going to tell people where to get it in just a minute. Okay? But you're about to get this right now. And I told people, I'd already been told the contents by sources. Well, I guess people just decided to go ahead and give it all to you right here. Because fortune favors the bold. They know they're going to give it to you on the file. Just post it and say, this is the secret FISA court memo, and we now have it. We've now had a chance to scan it. This has people going to the court during the election and saying, this is illegal, you need to stop. So there was a fight in the court. That's why the judges recused themselves and everything. We have to get everybody reading this now. We got to get Paul Watson in England. I'm trying to call him during the break. I'm not bitching. I'm just saying this is all hands on deck. Paul's got to get on this. Everybody. I'm not going to shit on this. I'm going to blast it out right now so everybody's got to cover it before the media gets it and spins it. This is incredible. So get the file. It's from William Binney, former technical head of the National Security Agency. And I want you to post it to Infowars.com and NewsWars.com right now with a link to the live feed as we cover this, okay? And say, William Binney now joining us. Thank you. Here you go. Get the file, you're right. Anyways, so I kept telling you it could break any day. Well, I guess it broke right here. And I told you towards the end of the hour, I was going to give you secrets of the memo. Well, not just the memo, but the report coming out of the memo. We're going to go right now to Roger Stone for this segment, the next. Zach, one of our great producers, is going to quarterback that. But Zach, you were just scanning through the, how many hundreds of pages is this? It's 100. It's 100 and, it's 100, it's 99 pages without the cover letters. It's 101 pages long. So, Zach, just tell folks a little schniblet you just found during the break.
Well, I didn't even get 10 pages in, and I already found out that there was two hearings on suspected abuses of the FISA court laws. And one was in September, I think, 26th of 2016, which would take place way before the election happened. And if they're doing another hearing in March, after hearing that there was unmasking that happened with Susan Rice, and clearly Trump probably put into effort in March another hearing about the same type of abuse. So, I mean, this is just blows out the water that they've known about this illegal wiretapping essentially since September.
And we're about to post it on Infowars.com. We're going to tweet it out at Real Alex Jones. And I'm not going to do what the press does and just sit on this, the so-called press, the New York Times and people. We're going to blast this baby out to everybody coming up. Let's bring Roger Stone in. You bring him in and out of breaks, Zach, while I go deal with this on the main deck here. But Roger Stone, wow. Thank God William Binney now advising the president and advising the CIA director. And wow, this has dropped right in our lap. What do you make of that?
You know, Alex, we're making history right here at InfoWars. I now know how liberals felt when it was revealed that Nixon had kept tapes and those tapes would be forthcoming. This is very akin to that. This is an indelible blueprint of treason, of unconstitutional actions, of an illicit effort to steal the election from Donald Trump. It shows the abuse of power. And my question, my most immediate question after just looking at this stuff quickly, what did the president know and when did he know it? It is not conceivable the highest levels of the NSA and the FBI and the CIA were deeply involved in unconstitutional activity to change the results of the election without the orders of the president. It's time for us to know what Obama's involvement and knowledge was in this treasonous plan.
Well, we're scanning it right now for the word president or Barack Obama, and so we've got everybody in there reading it. I'm going to go work on that, Roger. Take over. But, I mean, right now, Infowars.com is 10 minutes away. We'll do this little segment and a little short one from William Binney joining us to break all this down. I mean, this is surreal, my friend.
Well, some of my same contacts, like you, Alex, in the intelligence community have been telling me that this existed. Going back to InfoWars many months, I have repeatedly said that there is a FISA
you court. You broke it in February and March of last year and said everything must be about a FISA investigation. You told the president that every time you've talked to him, and it turns out the president did it.
Well, they were using the full power of the state, the full investigative and surveillance powers of the U.S. government for political espionage, to spy on the Republican candidate for president of the United States.
This is 5,000 times worse than the plumbers. This is 5,000 times worse than the plumbers.
Well, in the case of Nixon, he was using private contractors and inept ones at that, and there was never any proof or evidence that the president himself ever knew about a ham-handed operation that achieved nothing. In this case, they were using the actual auspices of the U.S. government and the government's surveillance authority to cheat in the election, to wire the election. And then, now, suddenly, remember the famous 17-and-a-half-minute gap and how the liberals went crazy when there was missing information? Now, suddenly, the FBI is missing all the text messages between two of the leading perps. What would they have done if suddenly all the messages between Hunt and Liddy went missing in the middle of the Watergate investigation? They would have gone out of their minds. We are really, I think, ahead of the curve news-wise on this, and we're in an extraordinary place where it's all now laid out to bear. In other words, thanks to InfoWars, thanks to Matt Drudge, the pieces are now coming together. The dots are being connected. We know, for example, that the Obama Justice Department went to the FISA court in July of last year and asked for permission to spy on Roger Stone, Paul Manafort, Carter Page, and Trump Tower. And they were stunned when the judge turned them down. Stunned. Because the FISA court, generally speaking, is a rubber stamp. The FISA court gets 99% of their requests approved. It's important that InfoWarriors understand that unlike a regular federal court of law, no probable cause is required. They can ask to surveil a person or an entity just because they want to, although their responsibility is that it should have some national interest. In this case, the wholesale spying by the deep state was solely for the purposes of stealing this election. And therefore, Mr. Brennan needs to be asked what he knew and when he knew it. Mr. Clapper needs to be asked what he knew and when he knew it. Ms. Rice needs to be asked what she knew and when she knew it.
Roger, let me interrupt you. I'm literally in Kit Daniels' office. While we're trying to post it, they grab control of the computer and turn it off and fry it right in front of us and then start jumping in. They are inside our computers right now, but they can't stop us. They can't stop us from publishing it because guess what, idiots? Trump already published it. It already got published. We haven't told you yet. You're fools. So you're not going to stop anything, globalist. Understand that, Hillary Clinton and all of you. Boy, I tell you, I've never seen something like this. Live time in Kit Daniels' computer, because I'm on air saying post it. Can you believe that? They have whole situation rooms, probably still in our government, criminally battling the American people right now, Roger.
Because they are fighting going to prison. Some of the highest level officials in the Obama administration are looking at serious, serious jail time. Public ruin. And of course, this tarnishes the presidency of Barack Obama. They said that Watergate was a constitutional crisis. That was child's play compared to what we're looking at here.
All right, stop there.
The whole house of cards is coming down.
You're going to do five more minutes for me coming back out of break here. I just need to plug once because it's very expensive to run this operation. We got Soros back groups coming after us, as you know. We have great products at InfoWarsLife.com. I even forgot to bring my plug sheet in here, but we've got the combo with the X2 and the Secret 12 together, 40% off. That is ending today because it's about to sell out. And I was going to go back to the regular price until more comes in about a month. Survival Shield X2, amazing. Secret 12, it ends today. InfoWarsLife.com or 888-253-3139. And $50 off on Alexa Pure Pro, super high quality air filtration systems.
Austin, Texas, and the heart of the resistance. It's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. I don't care what they do. I'm addicted to liberty. I'm across that concrete.
jumping in the chair for Alex Jones while we grapple with breaking news. For those just tuning in, the page FISA memo on which the famous classified four-page summary is based has dropped into our laps, courtesy of that great patriot and former counterintelligence head, Bill Binney. For me, this is a very bittersweet moment. I've just hung up with my lawyers because, as many know, Donald Trump and I are being sued in the District of Columbia. The allegation from Project Democracy and Obama front is that Stone and Trump conspired with the Russians to steal the DNC emails and give them to WikiLeaks. To enter this entire document into evidence in this case, it blows their lies sky high. Now, let me remind you that the entire front line of the Obama NSA, the entire shaved head crowd, Dr. James Clapper, Islamic convert who served as CIA director, Valerie Rice, Admiral Rogers, et al., filed an amicus brief accusing us of spying for the Russians. Now it is them who will be in the hot seat. I can't even begin to tell you how explosive this memo is. It's a blueprint of treachery. It is a blueprint of treason. It is the outline of a massive program of illegality. And again, all signs point to the top. What did the president know, and when did he know it? That is the question that congressional investigators need to ask. Now, I know what's going on right now over at CNN. Nothing. They're going to try to pretend that this doesn't exist or that it is in some way illicit. But I think we have the goods. I think we have the facts, and the American people need to see this. Jack, any updates? All right. So we are on the cusp here of literally making American history. We at InfoWars are breaking what the entire country has been waiting for with bated breath. Proof of a massive conspiracy to deny Donald Trump the 2016 election. And then when he shocked the deep state, they put their so-called insurance program into high drive. I remember extraordinarily well the days of Watergate. I was a young aide to Richard Nixon at that time. And I remember how stunned I was when I learned that the White House had taped all of the president's conversations. They used a voice-activated microphone, and therefore it was all there, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Sure, you could listen to Nixon and Kissinger talk about how to end the war in Vietnam, how to open the door to China, how to negotiate a strategic arms control limitation with the Russians. But you could also, unfortunately for his presidency, listen to the illegal activities regarding the cover-up of the Watergate break-in and the coup d'etat, the use of the CIA and the FBI to cover up the actions and the investigation by the FBI. What we're looking at today...
Roger, we got to go. Great job. Great job. We're out of time. We'll be back with William Binney, former technical head of the NSA, exclusively with the bombshell memo first at InfoWars.com. Tomorrow's news today.
We've got it. We've got it.
This transmission is coming to you.
Waging war on corruption.
All right, you want to go?
It's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the info war.
Well, you can believe we've got all 17 U.S. intelligence agencies tuned in. They're always tuned in to my broadcast. But you better believe they're tuned in right now. William Binney, Skype's not working for some reason. We're going to get him on the phone, former head of operations for the National Security Agency, who is now an advisor to the president and to Pompeo, the head of the CIA, and has been meeting and giving Pompeo briefings on counterintelligence, just like the Democrats would be the Soviets. Well, that's how they're operating as a foreign power against this country. So while we line him up, Daniel Coats is the director of national intelligence that oversees the 17 agencies. And he's very important. We're going to be talking about him in a moment because mainstream media is already going to try to spin things and is spinning it, that Jones is illegally releasing the 100-page or 99-page technically top-secret Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court memorandum opinion and order dealing with the whole history of Obama's illegal spying on the Trump campaign, on President-elect Trump, and then ongoing. So this is the document. It's on Infowars.com right now. And William Binney drew our attention to it this morning. This is the big memo everybody's talking about. So while we line him up right now, let's just play Schiff, the Democrat that's been honchoing this fraud in the House. We'll play him first saying, you're too dumb to know what you read, so he didn't want it released. Well, sorry, Schiff, it just got released at Infowars.com. But it got released somewhere else. We're going to get to that in a moment with William Binney. And then we're going to play Trey Gowdy. We saw more manifest bias against President Trump in the memo. No kidding, we're reading it. Trey Gowdy, FBI text mentioned secret society. That's in here. FBI agents discuss secret society. Let's play those clips one after the other. Then we're going to get William Binney on with us. Here are some of those clips for background.
Why not allow people to look at it and let Americans make the decision for themselves about whether it's useful information or not?
Well, because the American people, unfortunately, don't have the underlying materials, and therefore they can't see how distorted and misleading this document is. The Republicans are not saying make the underlying materials available to the public. They just want to make the spin available to the public. And I think that spin, which is a fulsome attack on the FBI, is just designed to attack the FBI and Bob Mueller to circle the wagons for the White House. And that's a terrible disservice to the people, hardworking people at the Bureau. But more than that, it's a disservice to the country.
It does make you wonder. Again, it's a strange coincidence. Just as, you know, it's possible that these text messages that are missing, perhaps they really were lost. Perhaps it is another strange coincidence. The problem, Martha, is for former prosecutors like Chairman Gowdy and myself that worked at the department and worked with the FBI, it makes it harder and harder for us to explain away one really strange coincidence after another. Look, the point, I think, with respect to issue of bias that Chairman Gowdy mentioned before, we knew that Strzok and Page had an intense anti-Trump bias. And that's okay so long as they check it at the door, right, and do their job. But we learned today in the thousands of text messages that we reviewed that perhaps they may not have done that. There's certainly a factual basis to question whether or not they acted on that bias. We know about this insurance policy that was referenced in trying to prevent Donald Trump from becoming president. We learned today about information that in the immediate aftermath of his election, that there may have been a secret society of folks within the Department of Justice and the FBI, to include Page and Strzok, that would be working against him. I'm not saying that actually happened, but when folks speak in those terms, they need to come forward to explain the context with which they use those terms.
With regard to these new texts and the idea that there could be a special counsel, a second special counsel requested to look into this, how are you pursuing that?
Well, these texts are incredibly important, Martha, for a number of reasons, both what's there and what's not there. So lay aside this glaring 5-month gap in texts that the world's premier law enforcement agency somehow missed. Lay that aside. What we have seen, what Johnny and I saw today, was a text about not keeping text. We saw more manifest bias against President Trump all the way through the election into the transition. And I saw an interesting text that Director Comey was going to update the President of the United States about an investigation. I don't know if it was a Hillary Clinton investigation, because remember, that had been reopened in the fall of 2016, or whether it was the Trump investigation. I just find it interesting that the head of the FBI was going to update the President of the United States, who at that point would have been President Obama.
Congressman Gowdy, do you want to expound on the secret society idea?
Sure, I wish I could. I wish I'd been the one who either sent that text or received it. You have this insurance policy in the spring of 2016, and then the day after the election, the day after what they really, really didn't want to have happen, there's a text exchange between these two FBI agents, these two supposed to be objective, fact-centric FBI agents saying, perhaps this is the first meeting of the secret society. So, of course, I'm going to want to know what secret society are you talking about, because you're supposed to be investigating objectively the person who just won the Electoral College. So, yeah, I'm going to want to know.
Congressman Gowdy, you know, in terms of that glitch of the missing text messages those months, are you going to subpoena the phone companies to get those text messages?
You know, Martha, Congress is not great at using legal process like subpoenas and search warrants. Of course, we want that. I hope Mike Horowitz, the inspector general, got them. Unfortunately, the way our government's set up, law enforcement is better able to go to communications carriers and get texts and instant messages than Congress is. So, yes, I want them, but I don't want them 2 years from now, and I don't want them after a motion to be held in contempt of Congress. I want them sooner rather than later. So either the Bureau needs to find them, or we need to have someone who has really easy access to these.
That's right. This has to be done now, because the Clintons and others have been caught committing all these crimes. They've been caught trying to organize this economic, political espionage against the country. And they've already committed so many crimes that until they get in serious trouble, they are a clear and present danger. Now, joining us via phone is William Binney, former technical head of the NSA. And, you know, the guy credited at the NSA with helping bring down the Soviet Union. And I guess now he's helping bring down the globalist Clinton cabal that's been using the NSA for decades, I guess, now to dominate and control the American people. So he joins us now. We got to go to break here in just a few minutes. But he contacted us a couple hours ago and said, this might be helpful. Here's the actual memo they're saying is classified and that Congress is saying they need to get authorization to release. But then, when he sent it to us, we noticed that it was right there on the Office of the Director of National Intelligence website. We're going to show that to you. So, yes, InfoWars is breaking it. The media doesn't even know what to do or how to respond to this. It's simply crazy. So, Mr. Binney, thank you for joining us. We'll get into this whole conspiracy against the Republic that's clearly coming into view here, and from your expertise, where you think this is going. But just briefly, it's incredible. When did this get put on the National Director of National Intelligence website? And it's wild that there's no coverage of it. Was this just today, and then you sent it to us?
Yeah, as far as I know, it's just got on the website today. And I just found it through another source that passed it to me.
Of course. Well, clearly, deduction, the president's, Pompeo's met with you, you're advising the president. The president has the authorization to do this. Congress has been asking for it. So that looks like the president just declassified this.
Somebody did, that's for sure. It basically is proving everything that, I've been saying, and Edward Snowden's been saying, and all these about spying on U.S. citizens. And it goes into much more detail, proving they're collecting in bulk everything that's being communicated inside the United States. And then they're using it, even NSA analysts are still using it to go against the individual U.S. citizens, with their attributes that are not minimized.
This is simply incredible. William Binney, we're going to go to a break. We're going to go to break. We'll come right back to you. You'll have the floor with your expertise to lay out the big picture, what we've learned, what this memo tells us. If you've had a chance to read it, it's 100 pages. William Binney, former head of the NSA Technical, tells InfoWars it's appeared on the Director of National Intelligence website. William Binney is our guest. He is the former technical leader of the intelligence with NSA before becoming a whistleblower in 2001 after more than 30 years of the agency. Binney's been described as one of the best analysts and codebreakers in NSA history. And again, he is the technical advisor for the film Snowden. That is so amazing. I think the best work that particular director's put out, exposefacts.org, agoodamerican.org is a documentary that he endorses and is in that breaks down this total surveillance grid. Now further confirmed, talking to Binney earlier, if he just joined us, and then during the break, This is as big as the WikiLeaks revelations about illegal spying, but it ties into the Democrats spying on candidate Trump and president-elect, exactly what we knew from our sources. Again, this was published today at the Director of National Intelligence website. William Benny, who's been advising the CIA director and others, let us know the minute it went out. So we are the first to break it. And notice, an hour plus later, no media coverage of this. They don't know what to do. This is the secret memo that's so troubling that ties into all the perjury and the cabal of Clinton operatives trying to set the president and others up using the might of the surveillance grid that's meant for foreign powers against the American people. This is beyond any Hollywood movie. So, Mr. Benny, you've got the floor for the rest of the hour. I know you've got some big breaking news that you're able to get into now because this is not secret on programs that you helped develop and the upstream controls on all of this. So we're going to break it down. But let's first get into this memo and what's happened to the president, what's happened to the American people. The FBI agent saying we've got an insurance policy. We're a secret society. We're going to overturn the election. I mean, this is incredible. William Benny, start wherever you think's best.
I'd like to start with some of the things they're talking about on page 15 of that ruling, where they talked about NSA having the authority to go in the upstream program and take down main communications trunks. because they think there's some terrorist or dope dealer on there, and they can capture and keep the entire trunk line. Which means, like, if you have a 10 gigabit line, like 64 fibers, and you know there's a drug dealer in there internationally, I'll take down the whole line. Or you think there's one there, you'll take in the whole line and capture all the data and keep it all and sort it and interrogate it. That's basically how NSA analysts are able to look at their lovers if they're cheating on them. That's how they can do that under that authority. But that's all done in secret. The FISA court is listening to it there in their ruling. But this is feeds right into the doing that. They say they had two ways of doing it. Those who run the cables, basically, meaning AT&T, they own the cables, so they let them have access. And the other was the 702 program, where they went to the service providers for the internet or for the phone network. That also included AT&T. But this is the upstream program, is the taps on the fiber lines, where they take everything. And that's really what I was trying to say about President Trump when he was being targeted in all the data they were collecting, including his entire staff on his committee and everything. They were all being scooped up in this bulk acquisition off the fiber lines in the upstream program. And the main slide that would show it, if you could put it up, is the Fairview program. That is AT&T's tapping points inside the 48 states of the United States. And you notice all the tap points are distributed with, this is the one that no mainstream media wants to show on TV, because this is the one that calls out this business about they're only after foreigners is an obvious lie. I mean, if you looked at that slide, there are 11 points on that Fairview slide, excuse me, where the transoceanic cables surface on the coast of the United States. Now, that's where all foreign communications are coming into or going out of or transiting the U.S. Now, if they're only after foreigners, all they have to do is be at those 11 points. But the rest of the 80 points of distributed tap points go right across the U.S. with the population. That means we, the U.S. citizens, are the target, not foreigners. And that's the obvious lie they've been trying to feed us for years.
Wow. I don't want to interrupt. This is so bombshell. But this is confirming total dragnet of the entire Trump organization campaign by the Democratic Party, in control, unmasking. They've lied to Congress saying it was only a few people. This is bombshell proof of perjury.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, they've been lying to us in many different ways. To the committees, they lie, you know, even within the intelligence communities, like, they lie to one another. So it's all built on lies.
Wow. Please continue.
Well, the other point I'd like to make is that it's not just the Trump organization, it's everybody in the country. We're all in that boat. That's how they could put leverage on any of the judges in the Supreme Court or else, federal judges anywhere, or members of Congress anywhere. And when Representative Gowdy is saying he's not aware of all this, well, he should be, and he should be asking about that Fairview program and what are they doing at tap points across the United States, like in Kansas or Missouri or, you know, What are you tapping there? Well, it's not foreigners, I'll tell you that.
Well, you're absolutely, as you said, they're dragnetting everybody instead of actually targeting terrorists and others. Then it becomes a needle in a haystack, as you've documented and as you're advising the president now. But the big news is they did testify that they were not spying on the president or his family or any of this, which is a total lie. I've already had the DEA leak us documents where they were doing it, and including my name in there and private phone number. So I know it's accurate. But this is absolutely incredible. And I don't know how the corporate media is going to ignore this. But then you see the Republicans being pressured not to release this memo they've had, sitting on it, because obviously they're getting pressured not to. But clearly this points towards the president, who's authorized to release it through his director of national intelligence, and decided to do so today.
Yeah, I think that this is exposing all of this stuff and all this activity on all these agencies and all the political people involved in this. All this has to happen. We need to cleanse the house here. Otherwise, we're going to be, if we don't look back and fix the problems, we'll never fix them, and they'll just keep going. So unless you face what happened and deal with it and hold people accountable, you know, you're never going to correct any of these problems.
Well, the president was critical of the FISA. He said, my hands are tied. They're ramming it through. He still signed it, obviously, because it was tied to so many intelligence operations, but he said he wants to fix it. This is, I think, a big message from the president declassifying this today, and a little bird telling you about it so we could break it. But again, this is one of the biggest stories of my lifetime, and it's total silence right now that this is out.
Yeah, that's been my, like, even the Russiagate, the mainstream media was pushing an agenda, not any factual evidence. And so I found them to be totally worthless. And they were actually, they should unsubscribe to the First Amendment as a part of the free press, because they're not free and they're not a press. They're not looking for the truth and being honest about any of it with any of us. So, you know, I just see that as a total failure for their obligation to our Constitution and the process that we are supposed to have here in this country.
Well, they didn't think about people like you and Mr. Drake and countless other FBI agents that have exposed what was going on. I mean, there have been a lot of good people. And I know it's just your duty. You've done it, but you've been through a lot. Now to see all this coming out, is there not some satisfaction there, Mr. Benny?
Well, I have to admit that I do, that I'm really glad that this is coming out in print and in official documents, so that now we can clearly say, this is really what you've been doing. You cannot deny this. This is your documentation. You know, this is what you're saying to us you've been doing. So it's not us accusing you. You now have to face up to the consequence of what you've done.
Wow. Let's get into all this with the former head of operations, and the guy that actually did the fighting, did the attacking, and did the defending, William Benny, to help us traverse this 100-page bombshell of bombshell documents at Infowars.com right now.
Live from the Infowars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
So I started the broadcast off today telling you that I had talked to sources that have seen the classified memo that Congress is writing a big report on that proves all the perjury by top Clinton and Obama officials in front of Congress. I mean, this is open and shut. And more is coming out about secret societies, cabals, trying to stop the president. This whole made-up Russiagate thing when Hillary's up to her eyeballs with the Russians and the communist Chinese and Trump has no connections. William Benny, former technical director, the guy that actually ran the NSA, is our guest for the rest of the hour. We're going through this document. And, of course, you always hear, oh, we only spy on foreigners. We never spy on Americans. Clapper, Brennan, they've all said that. Well, on page 19, what William Benny was just mentioning, it says specifically targeting U.S. citizens. Well, the FISA court's supposed to be for foreigners. But see, they're even saying they're lying in the document. So Kit Daniels was going to pop in. But here's the big news. I don't care about being in mainstream media on just fluff stories. I mean, CNN, you name it, is in the news today saying Neil Strauss better not write a book and United Artists better back out. And, you know, you shouldn't publish Alex Jones's book, The Secret History of the Modern World and the War for the Future. Neil Strauss says he's never seen it where they try to stop it even before there's a publishing deal. And they're all over the news saying, don't let Jones publish his book. He's a Nazi. None of it's true. These are the Nazi book burners, ladies and gentlemen. So it isn't about, oh, I can't believe I'm not in the news. I'm in hundreds of things a day with their disinformation campaign. But when we break that the secret memo is up at the Office of National Intelligence Director today, clearly Trump said, enough of this. I'm the president. Boom, put it out. William Benny calls. He's already coming on. Says, hey, look at this. A little bird called him. And no coverage, no media. They don't know what to do. We're going back to William Benny here in about 60 seconds. He's very gracious to join us. But one of our reporters, Kit Daniels, just wanted to make a point about this. I mean, we're plowing through this 99 pages. This is incredible. I've never heard Benny so happy during the breaks we're talking, because this is total vindication. It is so good for our country. And again, it's the president. He clearly has released this. And so now we'll see what the press does. Kit Daniels?
I only got to page 19 before I found something really bombshell, is the fact that it says that procedures have prohibited the use of U.S. person identifiers to query the results of upstream internet collection under Section 702. But the October 26, 2016 notice informed the court that NSA analysts had been conducting such queries in violation of that prohibition. And it goes on to say that they had to make they bypassed that prohibition by kind of reframing the whole argument that they were not collecting data.
People are like, hey, this is a crime, so they play games with it. Let's go to the real expert on this then, William Benny. Is this not more proof of the fraud that they're admitting what they're doing is illegal?
Yeah, but let me give you a little background on the concept of minimization. That's a concept the court uses all the time, and you know, they keep saying this protects all your identity. Well, what they really don't understand, or they don't know, I guess, all the data that's collected by NSA is in what they call a collection database. There is no minimization of any data at all in that base. So that even analysts, even when, for example, Ed Snowden had said that all they have to do is use the IP of the DNC and they can go into the database and find the information on it, well, they can do that with anybody, because that if they go into the collection database with the knowledge of what their attributes are, phone numbers, email addresses, IP numbers, that they can use that to scarp up out of that database everything about them. And it's not just them. The other part that's missing here, and that's that I haven't come across yet, is that what the FBI and the DEA and the DOJ are doing with that data, because they also have direct access to it. And so do the other Five Eyes, GCHQ, you know, Canada, New Zealand, Australia. They can get into that database too through the IC Reach program. So, you know, this whole thing is a farce. The minimization is a joke. The oversight from the FISA court, they can't even tell what's going on. And the intelligence committees, they're about as worthless as anything.
And as you warned in secret session with Congress 18 years ago, back in 2001, if you let hundreds of thousands of people, private contractors, get in these databases, you've created doorways into everything, making us insecure for hackers, foreign governments, clandestine groups. This is insane what they've done.
Yeah, plus they open up everything to industrial espionage everywhere. So, I mean, now that GCHQ and NSA and the Five Eyes can go in and do all that anywhere in the world.
William Benny, as the former guy that ran the NSA operations, not the political head, but the guy that ran the operations, as basically the military officer that was in command. What needs to happen now? We knew this would be used to abuse, like in East Germany or back in Nazi Germany or other authoritarian regimes that use spying to control against their own people. They've been caught. They've been caught lying. They've lied to Congress. They're still ongoing with the Russian canard trying to overthrow a president that's clearly trying to reform things and is clearly for the country. Say what you want about him. He clearly, you know, he's trying to build the country economically back up. And they're just committing these giant flagrant crimes. They're caught in the text messages admitting that it's politically motivated and that it's fraud. They're paying their wives and husbands millions of dollars at Fusion GPS to create the fraud to launch the larger fraud. I mean, this is beyond any movie I've ever seen. If we don't go after them quickly, they're going to pull something like a cornered bank robber.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, what needs to happen now, Congress needs to make some criminal referrals to the Attorney General. And he needs to set up a separate grand jury, to investigate and issue indictments, because these are clearly demonstrable, but from the evidence directly, the crimes that have been committed. and all they need to know now are who are all the names they need to put on those crimes. I mean, there's going to be a lot of them, you know, so, I mean, including in the FBI and the DOJ and, you know, probably at CIA and NSA also.
And again, this isn't some type of vindictive thing, because we go after these people, they're going to fight hard. I just want them to go away. They're not going away. They're not going to Alba like Napoleon. They're like Hitler. They're dug in their Reich's chancellery, and they're not giving up.
Yeah, they're letting everybody else die. But the point is, you know, unless you face them and go after them and do something about this, you're not going to correct the problem in the future, and people will look back and say, well, they got away with it, so I'll do it too. That's why I blamed this all on Gerry Ford when he pardoned Nixon, you know? When he did that, he said every president can do anything he wants. He's now got a get-out-of-jail-free card. That's the next president, who also wants to be able to do whatever he wants. So, you see, that was where I put the blame right there with Gerry Ford. And if he'd have let Nixon go to trial for and be indicted, then I don't believe that this would have happened. But we haven't done any indictments of any of these people who have done similar crimes, and now for massive crimes. We haven't done any of that. And that's really what we need to do.
Absolutely. Well, what do you expect the political class to do, though? Because obviously the Republicans have had this for months. They haven't released it because there's so much classified stuff in here showing the crimes. I mean, in a way, Trey Gowdy and all those guys, even though I like them, they're, by not releasing this yet and wanting to redact it heavily, they're really defending the corrupt system itself.
Yeah, that's right, and that's why I kept trying to say, even with Trey Gowdy, he needs to ask questions about that Fairview program, the slide you had shown there. And also, there are other programs. You know, occasionally what NSA does to cover up what they're doing is they rename programs. They call them different names. And so if you go ask them at Fairview and they change the name to something like Hemisphere, you know, if that's the case, then they'll say, honestly answer you and say, well, we don't have a program Fairview.
Exactly.
You know,
so they play semantic games. It's like saying there's no global government. We have global governance. They just change the names and have musical chairs.
That's right. That's right.
We're going to go to break with another segment with you. What's the other key areas you want to get into when we come back, Dr. Benny?
Well, I just wanted to get into the FBI and the DOJ and all of that and the DEA.
All right. We'll be back. Ladies and gentlemen, Infowars.com exclusively broke the secret 99-page, 100-page with a cover sheet FISA memo, and we're in a couple hours into this, and there's no coverage anywhere. Again, because it's so real, it's so damning, it's so bombshell.
Defending the Republic from enemies foreign and domestic, it's Alex Jones.
Now, to navigate this, if you just joined us, former technical head of the National Security Agency, William Benning, is our guest. Congress has said there is a secret FISA court memo about abuses that ties into how Obama and Hillary and others were illegally spying on them. That is the memo that the Director of National Intelligence released today. William Benning, former technical head of the NSA, got a contact from his source, said, look at this. He was already coming on the show. I was already talking to sources about what was in the memo and some of the things it dealt with. And Congress is going to put out another memo, but this is the underlying memo, connecting it all together with the political espionage that's gone on. Okay? But Gowdy and others, who are good guys overall, they don't know what parts to classify, what parts to declassify. I'd say 90% or more of this document is not redacted. This is the document that they're talking about, the FISA court memo. There is a memo, but then there's also the memo they're going to put out on the secret FISA court memo, because they didn't want to put out the whole report. They wanted to tie it in to the new event. So just to be clear with the semantics on that, this is a live feed, Infowars.com, hundreds of stations across the country. They don't want this story getting out. So share the live video feed, share the document, and we're going to add a link on there to the Office of National Intelligence, which is the head 17th agency over everything, that has released this. And I was talking to William Benning during the break. You were saying it's very encouraging that the Director of National Intelligence released this today, because the liberals and others, fake liberals, are saying, there's no such thing, you're making it up. Well, Daniel Coates has now released this with little fanfare, You've been in a similar position as him. What do you think is the thinking behind this by the Director of National Intelligence, obviously being directed by the president?
Well, to my mind, I was hoping that this was an indication that the president really wants to clean up the mess in the intelligence community and the law enforcement agencies. So I just think that that's the one thing that hasn't been addressed so far that I've read in that report is that the use by the FBI and the DEA and the DOJ by information collected by NSA warrantlessly against U.S. citizens. One of the key indicators as to what they were using it for was given by Senator Feinstein on the House and Senate floor when they were challenging the funding for that program in 2013. She came on there and said to defend that program. She said, this program is so useful to us, we put hundreds of people in jail every year with it. But he's talking about U.S. citizens that they used the data against them in a court of law, but they did a parallel construction, meaning they fabricated data to substitute for the NSA data because it wouldn't be admissible. So what that really is doing is subverting our entire judicial system, and this is what should really concern the Attorney General. If he wants to have a real reliable attorney, as an Attorney General, have a reliable judicial process, he has to address this and has to do it as fast as he possibly can and correct it.
Looking at the document, do you agree it's about 90% unredacted? And what do you make from that? What do you think is redacted in here, Dr. Benny?
Well, a lot of things that you could fill in, like the Fairview program or AT&T, the service providers, you can fill that in from a lot of material that has been released from Edward Snowden and is also on the web. You just need to collect it together and look at it in concert with one another. Then you can fill in the blacked out areas. It's not that difficult to do if you...
You're talking about reverse engineering with open databases.
Exactly. Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Please continue.
Well, I mean, the point is that this is like the first opening in the legal process to now go back and challenge these people, because I'm also going to... I'm supporting three separate lawsuits against the United States government for the NSA unconstitutional collection of data on U.S. citizens. And I'm going to use this ruling also in those courts, and I'm going to be passing that on to the lawyers managing those lawsuits. So this is going to be leverage for us, too, in the lawsuits to actually see, because Congress, when they try to pass laws that cover up all the crimes that these agencies have been committing, they can't do it if they don't match and conform to the Constitution, because those laws are no longer laws. I mean, the Constitution, the ultimate law, if it gets constitutionally challenged in a court and ruled unconstitutional, the law is nullified.
Wow.
So they cannot pass laws that violate the Constitution. That's the point. And that's what they've been doing.
William Benny, Giant Josh, ExposeFacts.org, GoodAmerican.org is the documentary film, PGKnowledge.eu. You're also advising the EU on ways to not spy on the general public, but to stop terrorists and criminals. I know you can't get into your meeting with Pompeo, the head of the CIA, at Trump's request, but what Trump said publicly back since he was briefed that he was being spied on throughout the campaign, but obviously he didn't put it out because it was classified. He just said that they were lying. Clearly, the president shows it yet again. He's quite a maverick here, and it's not a love fest. It's just a fact. This is very good, as you were saying, sign that the president does want to reform things and wants to use these systems that you developed to actually target people that via the algorithm and via the systems pop themselves into the grid, and then you actually go after the people, and it's much more successful than a total political control spying on everybody. And then mainly government heads use this to spy on their own wives, children, and whistleblowers to continue corruption.
Yeah. Also, I would add they use it against the government has used it against Jim Rosen, the Associated Press, Elliot Spitzer, to get rid of him because he's going after the bankers on Wall Street for defrauding people, and also against anybody who is all the whistleblowers, anybody who's been opposing them in any way, and also I think in terms of leveraging Congress and leveraging courts. So I think that this was the major problem I had with it. This was the when you acquire this kind of knowledge about the entire population of a country, it gives that central point of knowledge a great deal of power over everybody. I mean, if they can't find something on you, if they go find something about somebody you care about, they can leverage you that way. I mean, that's the old KGB Stasi way of doing things, too.
Or Exactly. They'll just take that you were someplace, match that up with somebody else, have them say you did something wrong, and say we've got the data points. That's how this works.
Yeah, they can also fabricate, manipulate the data. They tried to do that with us, but that failed too.
Because, again, a good whistleblower let you know what they'd actually done so you could expose it if memory serves, which has got to scare them that there's so many moral men and women in our government. The government I don't see as the problem. The problem is corrupt individuals and cowards in our government.
Yeah, it's the established government, too. It's about four layers of management in those established governments that really think they have the power and to manipulate everybody, including the president.
Exactly. You've got the general deep state that's grown. And then you've got above it the shadow government that's filled with the permanent bureaucracy and corporate bureaucrats who literally think they're God.
Yeah, that's right. And they know better, you see. They're the elite group. Those are the people who have all the brains, so obviously they must know right. And so therefore everybody needs to follow what they say. So that's and when they control all the information and threaten people like the news medias and things like that who just cower over, they don't stand up for anybody. Then you know, you have no mainstream media to challenge anything, to follow what they're supposed to do, and that's why they were written into the First Amendment, is to challenge what government's doing, make sure they tell the people what it is.
You've experienced it, I've experienced it, but I'll cover something, do something. 2 days goes by, George Soros of Media Matters puts out the spin, and then 500 articles, 1,000 articles the next day go with the exact spin, just rewritten. And you realize the press knows they're not press. They're regurgitators. They just repeat this whole line to create this normalcy bias and just to have this big lie out there. And it's just incredible. And then now the fake media wants to shut us down. They want to shut down the real media. It's just crazy. We're going to do one more segment with William Benny here, and I really appreciate him graciously giving us so much time. But looking at this for people that just tuned in, how would you describe the magnitude of this report that you were made aware of that just appeared on the office of the Director of National Intelligence, the secret FISA court memo concerned about all the corruption that Congress has been talking so much about, the left said didn't exist. Here it is. I mean, how would you quantify how big this is?
Well, it involves everything that everybody in the country does in every aspect of their lives. Everything. You know, any kind of issue that you have, medical or otherwise, it involves all of that.
And a rogue group in the government, less than 30 agents in the FBI and Justice Department, lawyers, creating this whole fake lie, getting fake warrants, and then lying to the media and still pushing it and sending text messages admitting it's a fraud and admitting they're setting the president up. I mean, the boldness of that, to be text messaging the crimes they're committing, it shows a level of dangerous hubris, doesn't it?
Yeah, the arrogance of power is what I call it. They think they have power over everybody. And the only way to do it is so shine the light on them and go after them. That's why this attorney general needs to stand up and do something. If he doesn't, we ought to fire him and get somebody who will.
That's the most powerful thing you've said. Sessions, I mean, well, Trump's doing the right thing here. And this is Trump. And you notice the silence is everything. It's everything you need to know. Infowars.com has the exclusive memo they don't want you to see. Spread the link right now. This is a war.
Live from the Infowars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
Man, the behind-the-scenes conversations with William Benny are incredible. Nothing secret, but his conversations with the CIA director, you name it. Unbelievable. He wanted to get into what needs to happen next, the latest on Russiagate, and then this amazing stuff he's doing in Europe. I want to bring that up. Prettygoodknowledge.eu, pgknowledge.eu. William Benny, we got 4.5 minutes. Please finish, sir. Thank you.
Okay, well, I just think that the attorney general needs to set up these indictments and start attacking the people who have been at the center and the core of this continued violation of our constitutional rights. A lot of them are embedded long-time employees of these agencies, some of them appointed and some not. So that's where the swamp really needs to be cleaned. And then when they do that, they have to go along with the political cronies that have been helping them out and helping all of this happen. So a good deal of the U.S. government should be indicted. And I think that that's the proper way for an attorney general to proceed. If he doesn't do that, I just don't. I lose all faith in him.
I do too. Continue.
So on Russiagate, I wanted to add one thing. I don't know that I've said this on your program before, but I was in the UK examining some of the raw data from Guccifer II, the data that was supposedly hacked from the DNC on the 5th of July, and there was a second batch on the 1st of September. And I was over there with my friend Duncan Campbell, and we were examining the data, the raw data, well, not the real, but the timestamp files that were transferred, and trying to put it together to see what the transfer rates were and all that. And then Duncan looked at something, and he discovered this, that if you ignored the date, day, and the hour, and only looked at minutes, seconds, and milliseconds, you could merge the two data sets from the date of the 1st of September and the 5th of July together into one set of data, which meant, very simply put, that this Guccifer II, wherever he was, was playing with the data to try to manipulate us and confuse us. So the whole thing was a basic sham from the beginning, a total fabrication.
Didn't you also point out a lot of this data clearly was downloaded at speeds that couldn't be online?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was the other part. The speed, and we found out the highest speed was really 49.1 megabytes per second, which is close to six times the rate necessary. On the web would have to be, you know,
sure, only point blank range with a really fast port could do that.
That's right. So the whole thing was a fabrication, and you know, that was my point to a lot of the media who started to calling me a conspiracy theorist and all that. I was just dealing with facts. They were just dealing with labels.
Well, Russiagate has imploded completely, but I think Mueller may go ahead with the fake indictment. The hubris of these people is the most insane I've ever seen.
Yeah, I agree. It's just outright insanity.
Well, we appreciate your courage. We wouldn't be here without you and so many other people who have told the truth. Obviously, Director Stone, I don't agree with some of his politics, but his courage to tell the truth is amazing. Thank him for that. Just briefly, pgknowledge.eu, tell folks about that.
I started a company over in Amsterdam, Netherlands, to try to do what I was doing over here 25 years ago. And since in that 25 years, the U.S. government really wouldn't let me do it, they attacked me everywhere I tried to implement that kind of knowledge and ability. And so I formed a company with some people from Netherlands, and we are putting together a program to do that over there. So perhaps that will be a targeted approach to do things like detecting terrorist threats in advance, not after the fact. And doing all kinds of other data analysis on large data sets.
That doesn't violate people's privacy or rights and doesn't create holes in everybody's privacy to be exploited by real criminals. William Benny, you're amazing. Please join us again in the next week. I know you're very busy and going back to Amsterdam to set this up. But please join us whenever you'd like. We'll just wait for that call. Thank you, Mr. Benny, for sending us the huge bombshell news. And basically, you broke the big NSA / FISA warrant information. So thank you. We salute you, Dr. Benny. I'll say bye to you during the break. Stay with us. We're going to go to Davos next.
Defending the Republic from enemies, foreign and domestic. It's Alex Jones, live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide from the Infowars.com studios.
Turns bloody in Berkeley. Our KPIX5 crews were right in the middle of the chaos as both Trump supporters and anti-Trump activists come to blows.
Protesters followed Trump supporters to their cars as they left the convention center. Around the corner and away from police protection on San Carlos Street, a mob mentality took over.
You voted Trump! You voted Trump!
Oh, yeah!
What do you say to the people who dragged a poor white guy out of a car and beat him?
Oh, my goodness. Poor white people. Please, oh, my, stop.
These were pure attacks. Trump supporters, men, women, even the elderly, left this building last night and walked right into danger.
This Trump supporter was the first casualty of the day, with blood streaming out of his face.
Pro-Trump and anti-Trump protesters got into it.
They're throwing things at the guy who has a Trump shirt on. Oh, he just got knocked in the back of the head. He just got punched in the face. And now they're rushing him.
We're saying, if you're out there and you're trying to represent your First Amendment right to free speech, if somebody comes and attacks you, it's your right to defend yourself.
It got ugly. Violence erupting at the event as fights broke out, fists flying between Trump supporters and anti-Trump supporters. It gets pretty ugly.
Yeah, I want to warn the folks watching at home, you're about to see some very violent footage.
Do you want to fight? You better believe.
Organizers say today's rallies were meant as a show of unity against what they call a seditious fringe allegedly trying to sabotage the president.
You can see there a FedEx delivery driver jumping in to try to put an end to the protest.
You don't like, get the out.
It's the strength in numbers. I'll give it to 8 lips. You want to come at, you better be 100 of you against one of me, because that's what it's going to take.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are back live. Next segment, Ted Malik, former board member of the Davos Group, is going to join us. Trump is going there. Historic things happening. He's got big, exclusive breaking news coming up here in about 6-7 minutes. But this is a short segment because I came in late working on big things behind the scenes. I told you that I talked to high-level sources in the last 48 hours about what is in the classified FISA memorandum about illegal spying and how it tied into the other testimony and other text messages and data of Strzok and of Page and of all the people saying, we're forming a secret society, we're going to set the president up, we're not going to let him get into office, on and on and on. First, it's insurance policy when he gets the nomination, then it's we're not going to let him in. Then, before we go on air, William Benny contacts us, the former technical head of the NSA, the main advisor on Snowden, the film, with Oliver Stone. I mean, the guy that ran the NSA, okay, saying, I just got a call, and I'm not going to say from what agency, but he advises the president and advises the CIA director. Just type in William Benny meets with the CIA director, Pompeo, saying, hey, this just got put out. Go on Alex's show and talk about it. And we went and checked. And we're like, it's funny, I'm being told I'm going to be given this in the next couple days. And then here it is, and it's got a timestamp date on the Director of National Intelligence site of May. But we went and looked, it's not there in May. So it doesn't matter. No one covered it, and this is the memo. So the media is not touching it. They're just saying, oh, we're not going to look at it because it's from May. They're not denying it's real. They're just saying they're not going to look at it. So here it is, all the illegal spying on the American people, targeting Trump, his family, all these FBI people, all of them lying before Congress. This is the big memo. Gowdy and all of them talked about, and the media is going to spin it. Now, what did I talk about? I'm having all these meetings on the phone for hours. I'm trying to understand. These people that have seen the memo that you're now seeing and others, they don't tell me classified stuff. They say, I go through, well, is it this? Is it that? Well, what about Jim Jordan and how Jim Jordan keeps saying, you know, I don't know if this is true. I just am thinking maybe the deputy head of the FBI secretly met with Strzok and Page and decided to fix the intelligence for the FISA court, and Obama ordered it, and they were doing it as an insurance policy against the president. He said that a week before it was released, word for word. That's the game going on here. And they said, listen to everything they're saying this week, and it's what's going to happen next week. And so they've been trying to get it released. It popped up, and the former head of the NSA pointed it out to us, can't get more credible there, today. It doesn't matter when the Easter Bunny said it fell out of the sky. Today it's there. Director of National Intelligence. Mainstream media would have sat on this and said, oh, we have the document and we're the only ones. Wouldn't even tell you it was there. We said, no, it's there. So, I've talked to the CIA, FBI connections, Army intelligence connections, former technical head of the NSA, and a bunch of other people that talked to the president. I'm going to leave it at that. I talked to the president. Haven't talked to him in months. I've missed his call. Media wants a story. There it is. I've missed the president's call three times the last few months. Uh-oh. General Kelly will find out and go spank him. I just got to get up early in the morning because that's when the calls come in his executive time. That's what Trump does all day. The point is that this is the point we've reached in this country where this has been out for 3 hours, 2.5 hours, and it's the real deal, and they're not disputing it's not real, and they won't even report on it. That leads me to this. Neil Strauss didn't just write The Pickup Artist, and he's not a pickup artist. He went and said basically in a second book how terrible it is, but he invaded that number one New York Times bestseller. He's had more than 10 New York Times bestselling books. He's a listener. He contacts me. He wants to write a big book. I said, sure, knock yourself out. He's a great guy. Came to Austin. We hung out. Bunch of stuff. I told you I had a big, you know, big author want to do a book. This New York Times article and dozens of others today say don't publish his book. They've contacted his agent and the company, what, United Artists, and they've said, you better not publish it. And they're like, yes, you're right. Alex Jones is evil. Neil's agent is wrong to even talk to him. You know, we're not going to do it. You're fools. Neil's never seen them do this just during the publishing phase. This is the book they don't want you to read, dum-dums. We already had this planned, idiots. We already figured they'd publish it, print it, and like Milo, ban it. Then we'd sell 5 million copies. Now it'll be 10 million. Bozo the clown's what you are. So you got played again, Jack. CNN money. Oh, the evil Alex Jones. And you know what? We need to sell 5 million books to fund this operation. So, yeah, it's the secret history of the modern world and the war for the future. You like that? Neil Strauss is a really smart writer. Meeting with him for days, he's smarter than I am. He gets this better than I do. And I'm not just saying that. So I'm really proud. We're going to publish this book one way or the other. But this is what America is. These people trying to block us putting a book out. That's the private intelligence networks that within one day of the book proposal going out, we've already got publishers wanting to publish it, but we want to go with the biggest. If we're going to go that route, we're not sure. Ladies and gentlemen, this is insane. So, hey, they're trying to shut us down everywhere. Not Google's banning us from ads. That cut off $5 million a year we're making. We need your support because I've got over 100 crew members. We're expanding. Huge studios, satellites. We want to spend $1.5 million the next year to be on 3 different satellites. We got UHF, VHF, cable, by the hundreds of stations lined up. I don't want to say this, but the Clintons are out of power. Can't send that hit team as easy anymore when I got mine on the roof. But the point is that it's on, ladies and gentlemen. Infowarsstore.com. Whether it's the Caveman, Ultimate Bone Broth, whether it's the Immune Wall, our latest product, Pollen Block's amazing. We got two specials about to end. 40% off Survival Shield X2 and Secret 12. Infowarsstore.com. Your purchases fund the operation that brings victory. Waging war on corruption.
You found it. The front lines of the human awakening. It's the InfoWar. And now, Alex Jones.
We're going to Ted Malik for the balance of the hour here in about a minute. I predicted it in the first hour because I was briefed on this memo in the last 2 days. I said I was going to break it down. Then William Binney, the former head of operations, the National Security Agency, said this just went up today. It's marked months ago, but I just got this from my contact, and we talked about that. I'm not going to say it on air, but he advises the president. And I said, they're going to spin this, that this isn't the classified memo, because it's about 10% blacked out. Then Congress has written a memo, as I said, before we even broke this down, of this memo, with all the perjury that the Democrats engaged in, and the other info they have in a memo that they are creating that they call the secret FISA court memo. So they're trying to create a 4-page memo off the 100 or 99-page memo. This is the memo. And I said, watch. You can pull up the video, first hour. I said, they have these globalist-run media outlets by Soros, like Right Wing Watch and Media Matters, that before the media reports will put a blueprint out. And they'll probably say, this isn't the memo. Alex Jones really thought he had the classified memo. And they go on to say, it's just the court's opinion. No, it is the top secret memorandum opinion and order. It's an order. Court's opinion is its order. Oh, it's just an opinion of the court. That's an order. But notice they say, oh, it's just an opinion. This is the memorandum. This is the full memorandum. Nunes has seen the groups that did it and who ordered it, the blacked out areas and the signatures. Man, and watch the media will go with this and they'll just say, oh, never mind. This memo doesn't matter, when it's the biggest memo, bigger than WikiLeaks, William Binney said. He said this is the biggest thing he's ever seen proving illegal spying. And this is the one they just put out today. Obviously, Trump had this released, the Office of National Intelligence. And this is their blueprint now. Just like CNN says, don't publish Alex Jones's book with the best-selling author and harasses the talent agency. And then they're over here saying nothing to see here. Ted Malik, again, is a best-selling author in his own right, writes for major newspapers across the country, writes a lot of great stuff for WorldNet Daily and Infowars.com as well. And he joins us to cover Davos that's kicking off tomorrow and Trump that's going to be there on the 25th. Such huge news. But first off, navigating the art of spin. We should also give it your website as well, Theodore Roosevelt Malik, The End of Ethics, and some of your other great books we'll talk about. But what in the Hades? This is next level spinning here. It's like when Cuomo got on CNN and said, we can read WikiLeaks, but you can't. If you read it, you'll go to jail. You have the document everyone's looking for, and they're saying, don't worry about it. It's no big deal. Alex Jones is fake news, even though I just had the former head of the NSA on. What do you say, Ted Malik?
Well, I'd say gotcha. I think you got him. I mean, we've all been waiting for this memo. They say it's going to take 19 days to clear those black boxes so that we can see some of it. We're guessing what's in there. You've heard some of the Freedom Caucus members talking about it. They can't obviously disclose what's in it because they're, you know, under confidentiality agreements. It's secret information. But this memo, I am told, is going to smoke a lot of people out of the FBI and the Department of Justice. So can't wait to see the whole damn thing.
I was about to say, the word is, a lot of the four pages is what's been redacted.
Yeah, of course, that's what it is, redaction. They black out boxes. I mean, there's some government documents, you get them, and there's one word on a page. Everything else has been blocked out or blacked out. So, I think we got them on this one. And Trump wants this out. This is going to get out.
Yeah, it sure is. Benny was giggling about who gave him a call. I'm just going to leave it at that. But Trump is on the hunt here, and that's really, we see the head of the EU. We see Macron admitting it's all collapsing, what you first predicted a decade ago when Davos Man got out of it, you know, and you know, as you're known as the Davos Man. How does all this tie together and their war on the American recovery? More and more I see Communist China in the Washington Post admits buying off our universities, trying to finance the Democrats for government shutdown. I mean, it's not Russian collusion, it's Chinese collusion from my research.
Well, there's certainly collusion on many fronts. I went to see this movie, which I hope you've seen and others should see, The Darkest Hour, this weekend, about Churchill coming to power after Neville Chamberlain, you know, was such an utter failure trying to appease Hitler in 1940, May of 1940.
My dad this weekend saw it. He said it's one of the best movies he ever said. And he said it's an echo just like Trump. Is that what you're about to say? Is that we're in our darkest hour?
Your father and I think a lot alike, as you know. And I wrote an article. It's going to come out this weekend in a major newspaper. The title of the article is Trump is Churchill. So, you know, we're facing the same dark hour. We need a man of courage. And Trump is that man. And I make the comparison of the article. But what we're really here to talk about is of course, Davos. This is Davos week. I think you'll get a giggle out of this. Your listeners will. They had 30 inches of snow in Davos overnight, which is why I'm wearing this scarf. It's the most snow ever in a single day. So it's a real snow job this year. It was kicked off this afternoon when the Prime Minister of India, Mr. Modi, gave his speech, and Trump is if the helicopters allow him to come in, coming in with, I think, seven members of his cabinet, Gary Cohn and General Kelly and everybody else. And he'll be speaking at the end of Davos this year on Thursday evening or Thursday afternoon. And wow. The theme of Davos, you'll get a kick out of this. There's always a major theme. The theme is creating a shared future in a fractured world. You want me to translate that for you?
Yes.
That means we have to go back to globalism because all of these nationalists and all of these protectionists and all of these Trump lookalikes are beginning and in fact succeeding in fracturing our globalism.
Well, yeah, exactly. They admit that. So it's falling like dominoes now, but I don't ever want to be hubris-filled and too confident, like the wolf says in Pulp Fiction, let's not start you-know-what yet. I mean, how are they going to strike back, Mr. Malik?
Well, they've got the major celebrities of the world going there, tons and tons, almost 2,500 people, CEOs galore. Cate Blanchett will be there. Elton John will be there. A lot of Bollywood stars, because of the Prime Minister of India, are there. So, I mean, when I was at Davos, you could share a hot tub with Angelina Jolie, but it's the celebrification of culture, and the way they're striking back is the ringmaster, the head man at Davos, Klaus Schwab, has gone on just before Davos started and given a big interview, and he's a very harsh critic of Trump and certainly of nationalism, and he said, and I want to quote him to get this right, "It is important that leaders not present a national perspective, but an international one here. And the presence of Donald Trump as president of the United States will hopefully provide him with a better global perspective."
Wow.
So what they're going to try to do is re-educate our dear president.
I don't think it's going to work too well. Let's talk about what Trump's going to do when he gets there on the other side with Dr. Ted Malik. InfoWars knocking them dead in the heat of the night. Woo! Yeah! Got the crew bringing us in. We got the crew's autobiographies. Autobiographer writing our new book.
You are receiving this transmission. You are the resistance. It's Alex Jones.
How's that for synergy? We are back live. Ted Malik is our guest. Paul Watson's hosting the fourth hour. I'll have to broadcast some with him. The magnitude of what's breaking. Dr. Ted Malik has been on the board of directors of Davos, called the Davos Man. But he was always there promoting Americana and global freedom and countries working together. But going back over a decade ago, headed up the Aspen Institute, another top elitist group, he really went public against him. But I've talked to a lot of folks that know Malik back when we were looking at him on the show a few years ago, and they said, oh, Malik's always been fighting the globalist. It's just that once we began to win, then it wasn't a joke anymore. And so now we're winning, but you read mainstream news, and Germany says, you promote nationalism, you're banned off Facebook, Twitter, or Google. We normally, on Facebook, we have 5 million likes on our different platforms. One has like a 2 million, another has like a million. All together, it's about 5 million. They allowed 44 shares. During the break, I was talking to one of our social media people. He goes, oh, yeah, they're blocking people. When they hit share, it doesn't go out. You have to go to folks and post it yourself by hand. So Google, Facebook, Twitter, they are massively increasing things. And a lot of people go, I'm just going to be a globalist and a leftist because I want to be promoted on Facebook, Google, Twitter, and all this. So, see, you're selling out to be able to talk to a bunch of fake accounts most of the time. Doesn't matter. We've got over 200 AM and FM affiliates. We're getting a whole bunch of TV affiliates. We're blasting out despite all the censorship. And I'm not bitching about the censorship. I'm just saying this is classic authoritarianism. They want to kick the president off his Twitter. So again, we're still winning, but we should not underestimate how the globalists are going to strike back. And, Ted Malik, you've got Donald Trump's big choice at Davos. A lot of people said, oh, he's a traitor going I wish they'd let me in. I mean, all he does at these global events is stand up for America. Soldiers, snipers, and security at Davos. You've got that report. World Economic Forum in Davos out to heal a fractured world. You talked about it earlier. They're going to heal the fracturing under their control. One ring to rule them all and in the darkness bind them. So a true Sauron operation. Davos peering behind the elite curiosity curtain. So you are the big Davos insider. Recap for folks your trajectory in life and how you got to the highest levels of this, and then why you yourself got out of it, Ted Malik.
Well, I'm a scholar, a diplomat, strategist. I've been in a number of important places on Wall Street and the State Department, Senate Foreign Relations Committee, you know, ambassadorial role in the UN. But I was invited when I was in Geneva, Switzerland, to become part of this Davos cabal of its early days, help them get American CEOs to come and help them develop some of their country strategies, industry strategies, bring some of the financial.
And how did you get involved very near the genesis of what is now, was the most powerful group in the world? Now they admit, as you said a decade ago, it's fallen apart.
Well, I mean, in my case, it was being in the right place at the right time. I was in Geneva, Switzerland. They're based in Geneva, Switzerland. They like smart people. Some people have claimed I'm a smart person. You know, I knew lots of Americans, have been in American corporate finance and in American financial circles. So they wanted what I had, access to people. And, you know, this was in the period around 1988. So Reagan was just ending his term and the first Bush was coming to power.
I'm not kissing your butt. People need to know you were a darling of Davos. You were like the cat's meow Davos man, exactly, helping bring it from powerful to really, you know, super powerful. And then that's why I want to know that trajectory. What made you get out of it?
Well, I write about this at some length in my memoir, Davos, Aspen, and Yale, about my life behind the elite global curtain, and you know, the role that I, the access that I had, the information that I had, the people I met. But I was always somewhat cynical about Davos, about its leadership, and about its very silly, you know, we're going to save the world kind of mentality. We call it the Davosian spirit. And there is almost a spiritual New Age element to it. I mean, Davos has always been around and about, and it is very much this year, we'll talk about it, about risk, risk, risk. The world is always a risky place, and you know, these are all the risks. They have a list of risks, and we're going to make it better. And the way we make it better is going through them, accessing their global power and using globalism to make it better.
Sure, you put them in charge, and they're all hopping around like New Age fairies.
That's the whole idea. They never talk about the rewards in the world. They don't want to talk about wealth creation. And in effect, what I believe, and I came to believe, and I believe it even more strongly now, that there's a kind of subtle anti-capitalism here. It's blatantly anti-religious, but it's really subtly anti-capitalistic. And there are a few people in this cabal, Soros among others, you go down the list of names, who really want to control things. So when you go to Davos, they talk about things like multilateral regimes. They talk about multilateral solutions. They talk about inclusive growth, you know, about poverty, 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 about the old 1%, you know, owning all the wealth. They talk about this year, climate change.
But I've noticed under their policy, Dr. Malik, the third world's gotten poorer than ever, and the elite controlling all the wealth's gotten bigger than ever. It's funny. It's kind of like their carbon tax 7 years ago, doubling carbon taxes on third world countries than the West. It was actually the opposite of what they claimed they were doing.
Oh, there's been more wealth created, and it's gone to more people in the last 20 years than ever before. They don't want to really talk about that success model. They don't want to talk about really free enterprise. They're interested in what they call models of cooperation, which sounds nice, but it's really another way of saying
crony capitalism.
The UN and their goals of sustainability are really the only objectives for humankind.
So you're saying there are a group of billionaires, this is key, a group of billionaires committed to UN global governments so that they can have governmental power for their monopolies.
For themselves. And they have this corporate governance model called multi-stakeholder theory, where, again, they're not interested in shareholder capitalism as much as they are in, you know, future generations or the environment. And if you use, if you're going to Davos, if you use the reword in front of every other word that you're going to use, every other verb in particular, then you'll be very accepted. So this year, they're talking about reshaping industry. That's the theme this year. Reshaping industry. Everybody has to be global. Everything has to be global.
But that
global.
Translates, re means takeover. We run things. We're going to run your life. We're going to consolidate power. Let us run your life. We're liberal. We're trendy.
You sound like you fit right in, Alex. You can go over there and mouth it.
But really, they're going to slit your throat. That's the cover. Yeah, I get it. Keep going.
Well, last year at Davos, Davos happens, you know, in the eastern part of Switzerland, in Graubünden, German part of Switzerland, actually the old Nazi part of Switzerland, interestingly. Very interesting history.
But as long as Nazis go, it's okay. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Last year, Davos took place just days after Trump was elected. So I went back and checked, and they said last year at Davos, Trump is going to be a normal president. Don't worry. Ignore his tweets. Ignore his bad behavior. He's going to mature and grow up. He's going to become presidential. This is a direct quote. He's going to be just like us. Wrong. Wrong. What they said is Davos, man, is very much alive last year, that there will be no travel ban, that NAFTA is the greatest thing ever invented, and there is no need, underline, no need to build a wall on the Mexican border. And economic growth under Trump will be worse than before. The dollar will be weaker than before.
Ted Malik, so we know they're shoveling bull. Do they believe this?
Paul.
Paul, stay there. We'll come right back to you on the other side to finish up with this, because this is really important. And Paul Joseph Watson from His Britannic Majesty's London, England, will be joining us. Again, we just broke the big FISA secret memo, Infowars.com. Welcome back. Alex Jones here live. We published today the redacted memo the media completely ignored that Nunes is talking about. The memo he's putting out has some of the redactions in it. They're looking at the classifications, but we already know, as William Benny said, who's met with the former, well, not the former, the current head of the CIA and others, this is Obama and Hillary and others ordering illegal spying on Trump. And the media tries to spin it and say, well, they put out a press release in May that the court had put out this finding and this memorandum. Well, yeah, but they didn't put the whole thing out. And that's what this is. So we're here pointing out it's on Infowars.com. And they don't want you looking at it. So I'll explain that once Paul Watson joins us at the start of the next hour. Going back to Ted Malik, who's been a big insider, one of the top guys at Davos, and what it's degenerated into and what it's telling us and what it told us was going to happen. Did they believe all this about Trump, that he would back down to them? Or were they trying to put a good face on it? What's happening to Davos? What's happening to the EU? What's happening to the New World Order?
Well, I mean, I think they're trying to hold their ground. They see the world as fractured. They admit that Trump is in part responsible for those fractures. And he surprised them and said, I'll take your invitation to Davos, and I'll come over there, and I'll give you the same inauguration speech I gave last January in America, and I'll tell you the truth. Now, last year at Davos, Anthony Scaramucci, I don't know if you remember that name, he's a Davoser, he went and said that the president offers, and I quote him, great hope for globalism, that Donald Trump is really a closet globalist. Now, if you believe that for a minute, I've got some other bridge to sell you. Of course, Mr. Scaramucci lasted 10 days in the Trump White House. So I think that Trump's going to go there on Thursday, and he's going to take a victory lap, first of all, and tell them how great America is. The country is back. The economy is buzzing. We've got low unemployment. We've got high stock market performance. And it's a great place to invest now that we've got our corporate tax rate down to 21%. And all the other countries in the world, Canada included, are scared as hell because investment is going to flow into America. I think Trump is going to beat his chest and tell them, give up. Join my pitch.
keep going with what's happening at Davos.
Well, you've got your normal 300 sessions on very interesting topics, everything from swamis with headgear to, you know, why you have to change your diet completely and become a vegan to why the world is a riskier place by the hour. So you've got all these high-powered people high up in the mountains in the Swiss Alps, cavorting with each other, partying late into the night. I tell all the stories again in this memoir, Davos, Aspen, and Yale. Some of it is a little salacious. I don't want to talk about it online or on television.
Well, tell us a little bit. Folks are going to read the book, but this is a big party.
Well, it is a big party, and that's part of the reason people go. They pay $71,000 to attend. You heard me. If you want to be a member of Davos as a corporation, The Guardian last year said the price tag was $1 million. Maybe I should go like this when I say that, $1 million. So it's a big price tag, and you know all the corporate heavyweights are there, and they like to party and have dinner with each other and have all the latest celebrities in to talk to them and tell them how bad the world is and what risks we're up against and decry what's happening in places in Europe where they're trying to take back their sovereignty. But it is an interesting party, and the Swiss air stewardesses are there to help you enjoy yourself. The dancing goes on until late, late the next morning.
Why is Davos and the EU so wedded to bringing in unvetted military-age men, stacks of articles in InfoWars Today, where women say, I let them rape my children, it's liberal. Actual articles. I let him rape my daughter. He's an Afghan. He deserves it. Where does this death wish come from with Davos pushing it, this Islamic love?
Well, I think that you will have a very strong sentiment in Davos, particularly by the European contingent, about why immigration and open borders is such a great thing. On the one hand, economically, they want cheap labor. On the other hand, they pretend to be humanists or humanitarian and are willing to basically, I guess, let a billion people cross their borders and take over Europe. They stopped them at Vienna, at the gates of Vienna in the 17th century, but that's not happening today.
Exactly. The very Pope that has 200-foot walls says everyone must let them into your house. And then the feminist women go, rape me, kill me. Every day I see articles, they're so cultically controlled, they'll do what they're told. I mean, I don't know how the EU got women to, like, literally basically slit their children's throats.
Well, I don't think that all European women are of that mind, particularly after they let 2 million people come from those countries, mostly males between 18 and 35, who have performed, well, very unadmirably in places like Sweden and Germany. So maybe people like Merkel have, quote, learned their lesson. But it doesn't seem it's the case because the EU is trying to foist this policy on the rest of Europe and, in fact, demanding that countries like Hungary and Poland and, you know, places on the periphery accept more and more what they call refugees or political asylum seekers. But they're really just economic migrants. Many of them, in fact, aren't even Islamic. They're coming increasingly from sub-Saharan Africa.
How many years ago did you say Davos is dead?
I wrote Davos is dead probably now about 6 or 7 years ago. And I think every year that goes on, you could say there's more and more evidence to that.
Sure.
Certainly last year we had the real nail in the coffin because we had Brexit in the United Kingdom. We had the resurgence of nationalism in many political parties across Europe. And most demonstrably, we had the election of Donald Trump as president of our United States.
And now all these other nationalists getting elected and free marketers getting elected. You did predict it first, along with Steve Pachinik of the CIA and a lot of other people, this was coming. And I see it manifesting itself right now. And if the EU fell apart and was free market, I wouldn't like that to happen. But it's an evil authoritarian system. And so, Ted Malik, please join us. coming up on Friday when President Trump is there right through the weekend as our correspondent for all the great work you're doing. Briefly, tell folks about your newest book about the joys of free market.
Well, I think we have to defend capitalism. So the former CEO of Cargill and I, retired CEO, you know, basically put our minds together and said, what can we learn reading the pages of the wonderful Common Sense by Thomas Paine at the time of the American Revolution that could be commonsensical today using our five wits to build better enterprises, more free enterprise, wealth creation? How could we do that? And where is it in fact happening? Because it's great. I'm a student of business and business history. It's great to talk about it in theory, but let's talk about places where it's actually occurring, where business cultures are in fact producing greater wealth, where there's more productivity. This is the kind of capitalism we have to support, not this globalism that they preach in places like Davos.
That's right. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you, Ted Malik. I'm going to co-host some with Paul Watson coming up. And speaking of capitalism, they hate free market that you can vote for the ideas and information that you want to see spread. And whether it be true, whether it be lies, we're trying to tell the truth compared to CNN. They're in dozens of newspapers and TV programs right now since last night. Within a day of our book proposal going out, they already had it telling United Artists and others and, you know, the famous writer, Neil Strauss, that will destroy you if you write this book with Alex Jones, when it's their idea. This is the true book burning before the book ever gets out of the womb behavior. But you can stop them. You make the decision to go, you know, Alex gives me great info. I ought to go check out the products. Air filtration, very best for your house, $50 off at $149. Leading competitors, $400 to $500 for a similar filtration system. That's about to end. We have the iodine, the X2, and with the Secret 12 high-quality vitamin B12, 40% off. That's got to end today. It's ending today because we're about to sell out of it. So I'm going to let it take a few weeks at regular price to sell out before it comes in a month. Once your Survival Shield, your Secret 12, thank you for making the broadcast possible. Also, incredible issues with all the pollen and garbage right now with the cedar fever in Austin. Been taking my pollen block. Don't have to take the speed drugs like Claritin D, you name it. Pollen Block works better. Infowarsstore.com. It's 51% off out of the gates because I want you to try it. $17.76 and your purchase funds the operation. And some other big announcements tomorrow. But these sales are about to end. Infowarsstore.com or 888-253-3139. You are all that stands between us and the globalist shutting us down. It's your financial support that makes it all possible. So I thank you humbly, and I salute you. Stay with us. Watson coming up.
Resistance to tyrants is obedience to God. It's Alex Jones.
You can run on. All right, Paul Watson's taking over. I want to recap the latest info briefly at the start of the next segment on how we published the document that Nunes and Gowdy and Jordan are talking about. It has some excised parts. That's the separate memo they're talking about, as I said at the start of the show, that is going to have all the proof of the perjury to Congress in it. But this got no attention. And the media is trying to spin it and going, well, it was released by the Office of National Intelligence, so who cares? This is the memo. They're calling it an opinion. It's memorandum, opinion, and order. It's the court order. Courts call their orders the court's opinion. So Soros groups are the only ones reporting on this right now to get their talking point out. But Paul's got the info how they're saying you're Russian bots. You know, if you don't want the EU running your life, or if you want to have lower taxes, or if you want to live longer, it's a Russian bot. No one, good old most corrupt member of Congress. I mean, even the Democratic Party admits in studies that Maxine Waters, you know, $12 million to her husband's bank she gave to him. She says that Trump got drain the swamp and lock her up from Putin, because none of us can think, like, if I want to say, hi, Paul, how you doing today? Great to have you on. Putin has to go say, hi, Paul, how you doing today? Great to have you on. Somebody say, yes, Lord Putin. Hi, Paul. Great to have you on today. Good to have you here with us. Putin just said, how you doing? What's coming up today?
The funny thing about it is, Alex, when friends ask me, oh, so are you colluding with the Russians? I'm like, I can barely even collude with Alex Jones. So how on earth am I going to collude with Vladimir Putin? But they've now come out and said And they've actually released a guideline of how they treat Russian bots. And on this guideline sheet, it actually says, you may not even know, Alex, that you're being controlled by the Russian bots, but you are being controlled by them. And now Twitter's sending out emails to people who started accounts after the election, like way after the election in summer 2017, saying, you followed or retweeted a Russian bot during the election. And this, they've sent this out to 677,000 people.
This is huge. This is their excuse. As you said, it's a fraud to say your speech is a Russian bot. We're banning you.
Yeah, that's the entree to that. Now Schiff and Feinstein are out. They've written a letter to Jack Dorsey, Twitter CEO, and said the whole release the memo hashtag, the whole campaign is a Kremlin plot. And obviously we saw with the congressional hearing, which we talked about last week, where they get up there and say, oh, yeah, we've got to stop these InfoWars hashtags or these stories or Breitbart or whoever from trending. This is what they're going to try and push through. The reason why it trended was because Republican congressmen were out on every TV station.
Trey Gowdy's a Russian bot. Lord Putin, they're shutting us down. What do we do? Da? Yes. Oh, I mean, this is ridiculous. So obviously it's blowing up in their face as the secret society comes out, the La Cosa Nostra and the FBI. I mean, as it comes out, the whole thing was a fraud. What are they going to do now that he says, ban it all, block it, Twitter, block it, it's Russians, the Russians are coming?
Well, they're going to start the crackdown. They're going to intensify it. I posted something from somebody who received an email from Twitter saying, you know, you're affiliated with a Russian bot, which is basically a warning to people. It said, I received an email from Twitter stating I followed and or liked content from a Russian government-linked organization during the 2016 election. That account was yours. So now I'm part of a Russian government organization.
You are a Russian agent. Disappear you now. It's actually happening in America. You are a Russian agent.
I've kept it quiet all this time. So they're basically just contacting Trump supporters who say they didn't even create accounts until summer 2017. And
it's a new intimidation. Listen, you're a damn foreign agent. This is pure bullying.
Yeah, it's
Twitter now bullying a new account, telling them they're Russian agents.
It's a complete hoax. The entire overarching organization supposedly controlling all these Russian bots, they got like 280 million impressions during the whole election, Alex. During the height of the election, I got that on one my only account in 1 month. So apparently I'm more powerful than the entire Russian bot Kremlin network.
No, comrade, you are Putin's son. The truth, I am Putin's little brother. You did not know. But we joke, they're coming for the censorship because we're kicking their political asses. Stay with us. This is huge news.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
Ladies and gentlemen, in the last 24 hours on Facebook, on Twitter, on YouTube, we have seen them not let us share our videos, unsubscribe people by the thousands, not let us have tweets even reach people that are signed up to see them. We've seen more censorship the last 24 hours than we saw the last 2 years combined. They have dropped the hammer. And Paul Watson and thousands of others are now reporting they're getting messages saying, you promoted the tax cuts or you promoted Trump going to Davos. You are a Russian bot. We have evidence, including thousands of new accounts that weren't even around in the election. It's now Russian bots, even though Twitter admitted to Congress. All the Russian bots for the entire campaign were not the equivalent of what Paul Watson got at Prison Planet on Twitter in 1 month. Congressional reports, CIA reports admit it's non-existent. The Russians can't even run their own country. The Chinese run our universities, our media, they've taken over. But this is insane. So this is their new push with Congressman Schiff sending out letters to Twitter saying anyone talking about release the memo, and we have the redacted parts that Nunes is going to release. The memo is public at InfoWars.com. No one pointed it out. We did. We broke the memo. We pointed it out. They're trying to spin that. This is next level. They are so damn scared of this memo because it admits they're illegally spying on Trump and his whole family in the declassified version released by the head of national intelligence, Paul. They are collapsing. Paul, recap this.
They're terrified. And we've got internal conversations from Facebook as well, by the way, which I put up on InfoWars earlier today, where they're concerned about Breitbart and InfoWars gaming Facebook's new algorithm so we appear more in people's feeds. Facebook was caught gaming their own algorithm. It's all this gaming that's aimed at us, and we're part of the Russian troll network. They game themselves on a regular basis to bury content they don't like. That's what it's all about. But now Twitter, you can get a headline up, which is Newsweek. Trump supporters are angry after warnings from Twitter about Russian interference. They sent out 677,000 emails to all these pro-Trump accounts, some of which were not even started until the summer of 2017.
Telling you you're a Russian. You know, next you're going to be arrested.
Saying that they'd identified and suspended a number of accounts that were potentially connected to a propaganda effort by a Russian government-linked organization known as the Internet Research Agency, which is the same agency that got 280 million impressions on Twitter during the whole election cycle, which is pathetic. I got more than that in 1 month, just my one account, not including all the other accounts that are way bigger than mine. You know, they tried to pull the same stunt with Brexit, Alex. You actually had MPs get up in Parliament and say that Russian bots stole Brexit. It was a big study. Russian-linked accounts spent less than $1 on Brexit ads, less than $1. You know, with Facebook, you have to spend like $1,000 to get anywhere. They spent less than $1. Again, complete baloney. And now they're saying that all Trump supporters are just Russian agents because they may have liked or retweeted these accounts, which we don't know, but we just say they're Russian bots.
This is how outside globalist powers that have hijacked our nations point at us, the patriots, and say we're the enemy and come after us. I mean, this is it, Paul. They're really doing it. But what's going to happen now that this is all blowing up in their face? And the whole thing's falling apart, and they've been caught in secret societies at the FBI to remove the president. What are they going to do now?
Well, I mean, the whole Mueller thing's completely collapsing. Even this agent, I'm unsure of the pronunciation, but Peter Strzok, you know, the one with the 5 months of missing text messages, they've got one of the messages from him. Or even he says there's no evidence of Russia-Trump collusion, like the day after the investigation began. So even in their own internal text messages, they admitted them to themselves. But I don't know.
And let's be clear, if we release a U.S. government secret court memo, which has now been released, redacted, Nunes has the four pages of redactions, that's Russian. So our own court report at InfoWars.com that no one will report on, that's Russian. Our own FISA court's Russian. Did you know that, Paul?
It's all just every single thing, they go to it as an excuse to distract from the fact that their narrative's being completely demolished. They're using this guideline, which is up on Twitter. Let's get it up on InfoWars. GMF is the organization. It monitors the activities of 600 Twitter accounts linked to Russian influence efforts online, one of which apparently is mine. Accounts were selected for their clear connection. Listen to that. Clear connection to Russian influence. But not all the
kind of like when they have congressional hearings and go, Paul Watson's number one today. We banned him at lunch talking about how it was an Islamic attack in New York with a truck. They said that was fake. It was completely admitted. Paul Watson says the sky is blue. Don't worry, sir. Congressman Quigley, we banned him at lunch.
And so it defines what makes you a Russian bot. And it's accounts controlled by Russian government influence operations. It's also accounts for patriotic pro-Russia users that are loosely connected or unconnected to the Russian government. But it's also users who may or may not understand themselves to be part of the pro-Russian social network.
Oh, what I didn't know I was a Russian agent because I wanted to take care of the military and old people and secure our borders and take our jobs back from China. Those damn Russians.
So any Twitter account that's maybe they support the tax cuts or whatever and they say they're a Russian bot, if you at any point liked or retweeted them, that also makes you a Russian bot. And you didn't have to know anything about it. They're now all putting us on this
list. If I have another baby, then should I name it Russian bot? I mean, is that a Russian baby?
I think that's the way it's heading right now, Alex. But I mean, I went back and found the quote from the Daily Beast, which is when they had the big hysteria over Twitter and Russian influence on Twitter. And here it is. Right before the election, some 36,000 bots on Twitter aimed 1.4 million election-relevant tweets that received 288 million impressions from fellow tweeters. So again, it was less than I got in 1 month, and that's their entire operation.
And again, Hillary, fake polls, fake questions, everything rigged, Hollywood, the Vatican, the EU, Mexico, the Communist Chinese, Saudi Arabia, the whole world against America, none of that counts. It's the magical, I'm ready for some of this Russian money, Paul, because you know we're funding ourselves. I haven't gotten jack diddly squat from the Russians.
I'm still waiting for my check from the Kremlin. But of course, the irony is, when Hillary thought she was going to win, Trump suggested that, you know, we'd have to look at the election results for any kind of shenanigans. It was like, oh my God, how dare he even suggest the election would be rigged? That's a direct attack on our democracy. What happens the very day after Trump wins? Oh, it was rigged. And they've been on this same narrative for a year.
So let me ask you this, though. They are losing now. And I don't just put things in a nice, you know, pose to, like, just be positive like they do and lie. We're really winning right now. What are they going to do when they start getting indicted and all this comes out? I mean, because they're just Silicon Valley. They're all just committed, while they own slave shops in China, the worst dirtbags ever, just virtue signaling that they're liberal when they're monstrous Nazis. What are they going to do when they all fail? Because we can't just be nice now and not indict these people. We got to go after everybody. Bezos, all of them. And these are enemies.
They're panicking at the moment, Alex, which is why they came out with this. You know, the fake news narrative completely failed. They did a Stanford University investigation, found the biggest fake news stories helped Hillary Clinton. And that in the overarching analysis of it, it had no actual
major Hollywood firms
whatsoever.
Created thousands of fake websites pushing fake Trump news.
Yeah, they also created this narrative called the post-truth world, which is basically them saying, damn, our narrative's been challenged for the first time ever. We're actually losing the argument. Let's just create this idea that suddenly the truth no longer exists. No, people are challenging your globalist crap for the first time in decades, and now they're starting to panic. Now you've got proposals, and we've covered this before, Alex, like with the China credit score. They want to link Twitter accounts, Facebook accounts to government-issued identity cards, which obviously would make people less likely to criticize the government or to have any kind of controversial.
Sure, they're going to say you go in a literal gulag, like Matt Drudge said, if you don't play ball. Listen, we got pointed out by William Benny that the actual FISA memo they're talking about, 90%+ of it was posted. We put it out. Nobody covered it. They don't say it's a fake memo. It's full of bombshells. They just try to say, oh, but it's not the classified parts. Yeah, but we've already told you, reverse engineered what's in those documents. And I'm going to shoot a special video. Paul's going to take over right now. I'm going to shoot a special video where I lay all that out coming up after Paul finishes up today. Look for that at InfoWars.com. But whatever you do, financially support us, because we're not supported by the Russians or by George Soros or by anybody else. We're supported by you. And we sell high-quality products so you like them and want to buy them again. Common sense. InfoWarsStore.com. The big sales on X2 and Secret 12 are about to end.
You found it. The tip of the spear. It is the Alex Jones Show. And now, your host, Paul Joseph Watson.
So, of the Alex Jones Show on this Tuesday, January 23rd edition, let's wrap up what we were talking about before the break, because this has broke in the past couple of hours. Headline, Democrats urge Facebook and Twitter to probe Russian bots. Yes, they're back again. The Russian bots controlling everything, dismantling everything for the convenience of democratic narratives to survive and prosper. Top Democrats wrote to Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg, a sympathetic ear, no doubt, and Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey, even more so, on Tuesday, urging an investigation following reports of Kremlin-linked activity around the Release the Memo campaign on social media. Now, exactly what evidence constitutes Kremlin-linked activity, we don't know, because none whatsoever is presented. Senator Dianne Feinstein and Republican Representative Adam Schiff, far from a Republican, both of California, submitted a letter to the two companies. So instead of releasing the memo, which is what the American people want, the polls show, they're going to block hashtag release the memo trending on Twitter again, presumably. It says if these reports are accurate, which we don't know if they're accurate or not, because there's no evidence whatsoever of it, we're witnessing an ongoing attack by the Russian government through Kremlin-linked social media actors directly acting to intervene and influence our democratic process. Now, when they say Kremlin-linked social media actors, we'll get on in a minute to exactly who that is. Basically, it's anyone who supports Trump is a Kremlin-linked social media actor at this point. The letter goes on to state, this should be disconcerting to all Americans, but especially your companies, as once again it appears the vast majority of their efforts concentrated on your platforms. So again, they're trying to bait Twitter and Facebook into following this hysteria. So they take even more egregious censorship methods, even more egregious than those exposed by Project Veritas only last week, to censor Trump supporters, to censor conservatives, even within the highly controlled and thought police echo chamber that Twitter already is. We saw them try to create a similar hysteria with YouTube last year with the adpocalypse. So they restricted, they censored. Now we're seeing it once again through Adam Schiff, who's been completely decimated and debunked on his Russian hysteria innumerable times over the past year. He goes on to say this latest example of Russian interference, again, no evidence presented for it, is in keeping with Moscow's concerted, covert, and continuing campaign to manipulate American public opinion and erode trust in our law enforcement and intelligence institutions. These are the same people who defend people like this Peter Schrock, obviously hyper-partisan, biased, abusing their power, but then they say, oh, the Russians, the mythical Russian bots are the ones eroding trust in law enforcement. You won't even release the damn memo. Who's eroding trust here? It's not your mythical Russian bots. The memo in question was written by the House Intelligence Committee about alleged surveillance abuses. And again, it remains to be seen whether it will be released. But along with this, this guideline emerged, which is what they're going from, what Schiff and the others are going from in their hysteria, as to how to identify the mythical Russian bots. This is from the organization GMF. It said the dashboard monitors the activities of 600 Twitter accounts linked to Russian influence efforts online. Accounts were selected for their clear connection. Listen to that. Clear connection to Russian influence, but not all of the accounts are directly controlled by Russia. What constitutes a clear connection to Russian influence? Basically anything pro-Trump. Basically anything anti the Democratic Party. Well, what a convenience that is. The method is focused on understanding the behavior of the aggregate network rather than the behavior of individual users. So they go on to list people who are directly working for the Russian government, those that are patriotic pro-Russia users that are loosely connected or unconnected to the Russian government. This is their Russian bot network. They also list users who may or may not understand themselves to be part of a pro-Russian social network. So you may not even know that you're in this Russian troll bot army, and yet you are. Why? Because you have certain opinions which aren't very convenient to those in positions of power, to those in the deep state who are trying to sabotage the Trump administration. So you're part of the Russian bot network. Now, people are sending me messages saying they received one of these emails from Twitter over the past 48 hours. They've sent out 677,000 plus emails to Twitter users, almost all of whom are Trump supporters, you would imagine, saying you have liked or retweeted or in some way interacted with a Russian bot trying to undermine American democracy. Again, it's partly a threat. Somebody sent me a message which said, I received an email from Twitter stating I had followed and or liked content from a Russian government-linked organization during the 2016 election. That account was yours. So I'm part of the Russian government-linked organization that undermined the U.S. election. Obviously, I don't know about it, but that's okay because that they've made that part of the definition. You may not even know. He also said he followed real Donald Trump and POTUS. So, you know, maybe the actual official real Donald Trump account is also part of this Russian troll bot network, because at this point, it's just anybody who shared anything that is pro-Trump at any point. Newsweek reports Trump supporters are angry after warnings from Twitter about Russian interference through trolls. Trump supporters in a popular forum on the social media platform Reddit, which is presumably the Donald, have shared their anger about alerts sent out by Twitter last week warning their accounts had engaged with or spread the messages of a network of accounts linked to Russian bots believed to have spread 2016 election propaganda. Now, they cite one example in here, which I think it's in this article that I read earlier. Here it is. One individual said he got an email from Twitter accusing me of linking to Russian accounts and retweeting stuff during the election. This was a user called Analog Device. complaining that this was impossible because their Twitter account was opened in the summer of 2017. So how on earth could he have helped spread Russian propaganda during the 2016 election when he wasn't even on Twitter until nearly a year later? Again, complete baloney. It's all BS, but it never ends. The social media platform sent 677,000 people in the United States these emails and basically said, you're in cahoots with the evil Russians. Now, we flash back to this article. Facebook Russian-linked accounts spent less than $1 on Brexit ads because they tried to pull this same stunt after Brexit. They actually got MPs who stood up in Parliament and said that Brexit was a Russian troll operation. You know, you had actual troll bots going into the voting booth and voting for Brexit, I imagine. But they did an investigation, and it turned out that less than $1 was spent by supposed Russian-based operatives to place three advertisements on Facebook in the run-up to Britain's 2016 referendum. They spent 97 cents to raise the issue of immigration. It wasn't even directly related to Brexit. And still they spent less than a dollar. And yet people were getting up in Parliament saying that Brexit was a Russian plot. So again, complete hysteria. No evidence has ever been presented for this. Are there fake news websites? Are there Russian bots? Yes. But do they have anywhere near the kind of influence that these Schiff and the others and Feinstein are trying to convince us that they do? No, it's complete fake news. It's the very essence of fake news. It's hysteria to distract from the details within this memo that they don't want the American people to see. We'll be back with more on the Alex Jones Show after the break. Infowars.com. Don't go away.
News, analysis, reports. It's the Alex Jones Show. And now, your host, Paul Joseph Watson.
We are live. It is the fourth hour of the Alex Jones Show. Before I get back into the news, we're going to talk about what's going on in Sweden, as we do on a daily basis now almost. I want to tell you about the new InfoWars Shirt of the Month Club. This is an exciting new opportunity to support this network. Every month we'll be releasing exclusive new shirts. Hopefully I get a chance to offer some of the designs for those. By signing up for our Shirt of the Month Club, not only will you be receiving limited edition shirts, you'll also be saving 20% a month on those shirts from retail price. Simply order by the 1st and it'll be on its way on the 10th. These shirts are exclusive to the program, so you won't find them anywhere else. And as an added bonus, Alex Jones will sign a random 10 shirts to show his support for the fans that make the InfoWar possible. Now, the first one that we've got out, which you're going to be able to get your hands on, is the best-selling Won't Tread On Me shirt, which instead of the typical yellow color, as the Shirt of the Month, it comes in red. A lot of people don't really like to wear yellow. That looks like a really cool T-shirt right there that you can see on screen. Support the InfoWar while getting exclusive gear to help you spread the truth with the InfoWars T-shirt of the Month program today. That is at InfoWarsStore.com, where we also have Alexa Pure Breeze Air Purifier. $50 off, huge discount with free shipping for a limited time only. The air in your home is filled with dust, bacteria, allergens, and viruses. But with the revolutionary air purification system, the Alexa Pure Breeze, you can remove up to 99.97% of airborne toxins and contaminants in your home. A lot of people have got these anyway, these kind of devices, nowhere near as good. So why not get the Alexa Pure Breeze from us? It has been a game changer since it came out a couple of years ago. Comparable units cost as much as $800, and they're not even anywhere near as good. But we're bringing it to you for a special $50 off with free shipping. Again, that is available for a limited time only at InfoWarsStore.com, where we also have the chocolate or strawberry caveman true paleo formula. Again, for 50% off retail at InfoWarsStore.com for a limited time. This may be our final batch of the product because we're having a hard time sourcing the concentrated chicken broth and may have to change the formula. So this is not going to stick around for long. It could be your last chance to get caveman true paleo formula at 50% off. This sale will not last long. That is also available at InfoWarsStore.com. Before we get back into the global news, I just want to mention this because it came out about an hour ago up on Daily Caller. Even Peter Schrock, this guy who schemed at the top of the FBI, you know, he was the one who came out with the insurance policy in case Donald Trump won, which, of course, was the Russian hysteria investigation. Headline is, in jaw-dropping text, Peter Schrock expressed concern about joining Mueller team. The FBI's top agent on the Trump-Russia investigation sent a text message last year that one top Republican senator says suggests he saw no evidence of Trump campaign collusion. So even the guy who all this controversy swirls around now as being, of course, hyper-partisan and biased because he hated Trump, as has been proven over and over again, even he thought there was no evidence of Russian collusion right back when the investigation began. The text message is, quote, jaw-dropping. Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson, the chairman of the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee, said in a radio interview today. He read aloud a May 19th, 2017 text that Schrock sent to Lisa Page, an FBI lawyer and his mistress. He said, quote, you and I both know the odds are nothing. If I thought it was likely, I'd be there, no question. I hesitate in part because of my gut sense and concern that there's no big there. So he's referring to the Mueller investigation, which had kicked off just 2 days earlier. So even him thinks that it's a complete baloney farce. And yet here we still are today, having to deal with it, having to rebut this narrative over and over again. With, of course, now, as I mentioned before the break, Adam Schiff and Dianne Feinstein basically claiming that anyone who circulated the hashtag release the memo campaign, anyone who helped get it trend, was part of a Russian troll army bot network. Had nothing to do with the fact that you had congressmen all over the media for like 2-3 days solid talking about it. That's not why it trended on Twitter. No, it was those mysterious Russian bots once again. And isn't that convenient? Because then they can use that as an excuse to distract from the contents of the actual FISA memo. Again, relying on the convenience of this Russian bot hysteria to distract from their own scandals, from their own corruption over and over again. This is an article up on Infowars.com right now. Sweden, my favorite country. Feminist mother refuses to report Afghan refugee after he sexually abuses her 12-year-old daughter. Now, this was supposedly an 18-year-old, as we know from Sweden. They did a big study. The official government forensic bureau did a study and found that 3/4 of so-called child refugees were not children. They were adults. Now, a feminist mother in Sweden refused to report an Afghan refugee who was living in her house to authorities after he sexually abused her 12-year-old daughter. She put the sanctimony, she put her concern for this Afghan refugee above concern for the safety of her own child. That's how intense the brainwashing, the indoctrination, the re-education is at this point in time in Sweden. The 45-year-old woman was working at a refugee centre in Salzburg when she began having a sexual relationship with a refugee who claimed to be 18 years old. Of course, we've seen numerous cases before, especially at the Calais migrant camp, which was supposedly bulldozed but is basically coming back into place right now, of these refugee workers having sex with migrants. I mean, that's what they're into. That's probably part of the reason why they want to get the job in the first place. Now, this woman began a sexual relationship with a refugee who was 18 years old. He was about to become official, so he had to leave this refugee center, and she allowed him to move into her family home. She was divorced, but she had kids. This 12-year-old girl had some big sisters as well. And surprise, surprise, within a short period of time, the migrant began sexually abusing the woman's 12-year-old daughter, kissing and hugging her, before one incident in September 2017 when the Afghan put his hands inside the girl's underwear and groped her vagina. Now, we saw the German propaganda of the public television network, because this is in my video last week, where they showed a relationship between obviously an adult Syrian migrant, probably in his 30s, and a 16-year-old girl, again portraying it as natural, normal. Now we have this happening in Sweden. So the daughter, the 12-year-old, obviously complained to her mother that she was being sexually harassed, sexually assaulted by this Afghan migrant, and the mother did absolutely nothing. She didn't report him to authorities. She didn't even kick him out of the house. It wasn't until the girl refused to come home from school and then told her father, who's divorced from the mother, that this had taken place. The big sisters also knew about it, and they were told by the mother to shut up. She said, quote, when he went to trial, I'll tell you what happened in the trial. She said, quote, I thought so much about him that he could stay with me. She was also reportedly a vehement supporter of the Me Too movement against the sexual assault of women. Of course she was. But not, presumably, if those women are sexually assaulted by migrants. Remember what happened in Cologne after the mass molestation of women on New Year's Eve 2015. The very next day, the feminists all went down to the local migrant centre to hand out roses. So it went to trial. The Afghan received just 100 hours of community service for the assault and will not be deported. Because this is Sweden, and it's gone completely insane. So he claimed to be 18. Chances are he was an adult, given that three quarters of so-called child migrants are adults in Sweden. Their own National Forensic Medicine Agency confirmed that. And of course, we had the figures released from the official criminal statistics agency, BRA, last week that show rape cases across the country, which is already the rape capital of Europe, increased 10% in 2017. So Sweden continues to enjoy the benefits of cultural enrichment, and now so-called feminist mothers are placing their concern for Afghan migrants over the safety of their own daughters. That's how intense the brainwashing, the propaganda, the re-education has become in Scandinavia. We're going to tell you where Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi may be hiding after the break. Of course, the leader of ISIS. Take one guess as to where that could be. We'll be back after the break. This is the Alex Jones Show Live. Breaking news at Infowars.com.
Live from the Infowars.com studios, you're listening to The Alex Jones Show. And now, your host, Paul Joseph Watson.
There's a headline up on the Independent website, and it's possible they've changed it by now because it's completely libelous. Tommy Robinson, who of course has been a guest on this program many times before, is in the news today. It came out in the trial of the individual, the Finsbury Park attacker, because you remember that Darren Osborne drove a vehicle into a crowd of Muslims back, I think it was in June last year. Terrorist attack, we called it a terrorist attack at the time, but now it's gone to trial. They came out today, mass media, numerous publications, and claimed that Tommy Robinson had sent, in some cases, direct Twitter messages, direct messages to the terrorist involved in the attack. In fact, I tweeted one of these earlier. The Metro, which is the biggest newspaper in Britain in terms of sales, it's tracking about the same as The Sun. They tweeted this: Finsbury Park attacker got Twitter DMs from Tommy Robinson days before attack. So essentially, they're claiming that Tommy Robinson directly contacted a terrorist, and the obvious implication is that he inspired this terrorist to carry out the attack, which killed one person. Absolutely incredible libel. It came out that what had happened was this terrorist, way before that, had subscribed to a mailing list, which at one point had sent out content, video content from Tommy Robinson. So it's the difference between being a member of a mailing list and being in direct contact with an individual via Twitter DM. Two completely different things, yet they're using this to smear Tommy Robinson and to claim, or to imply at least, that he somehow inspired this terrorist attack. And they're still doing it, even though it's been out for about 6 hours, that the guy was subscribed to a mailing list, not that he was in direct contact. There you see how the Independent. Finsbury Park terror suspect read messages from Tommy Robinson days before attack. Now, what they initially claimed, and in fact, I've got the original headline, which they've changed because they're getting bombarded with people saying this is clearly libelous. Their original headline was this, because I copied and pasted it into this text file. Tommy Robinson sent messages to Finsbury Park terror suspect days before attack, court hears. Now, even in this article, which is, again, completely misleading, fake news, libelous headline. Even in the article, this author admitted, quote, Mr. Robinson's message, which was identical to that sent to other supporters. So what's a message that's also sent to other supporters? Well, it's a mailing list. Completely different thing from the claim that Robinson directly sent Twitter direct messages to a terrorist. And they're still publishing articles. The Metro still got this tweet up. Hours later, 6 hours later, it was completely clarified that this was a mailing list. Again, shows you the mainstream media, while claiming that we're fake news, will peddle the most damaging fake news that could put people at risk. It could actually put Robinson at risk. It's definitely defamed his character. They'll do it on a whim. They'll do it every single day, and they'll feel good about it. Absolutely incredible that it's still happening as we speak, even though it's hours after it's been clarified that being on a mailing list is completely different from actually directly communicating with someone. Zero Hedge reports German city bans all new refugees as violent crime spikes. One small German city started turning away new refugees amid an explosion of violence between the newcomers and a burgeoning and illegal neo-Nazi group that's taken root in the city. So again, this is the problem that I talk about. If you allow these policies to really flourish and enrich these different parts of Germany, where in some cases they have tiny little villages of like 50 people, and then they suddenly announce, oh, by the way, 2,000 refugees are coming to stay in your village. But don't worry, nothing's going to change. If you allow that kind of insanity to go on, you're going to bolster actual far-right extremists because people get desperate. And if they're the only people who are listening to them, then obviously membership of those far-right extremist organizations is going to rise. If they're treated like absolute crap by their own government and told to shut up and just take it as their towns and villages are overrun, as crime, as rape, as sexual assault explodes. Officials in the city of Cottbus, located about 120 kilometers, has been plagued by a surge of attacks from refugees and right-wing extremists since the beginning of the year. According to Fox News, Brandenburg State Police said two Syrian teenage boys were arrested under the suspicion of injuring a German teenager in the face with a knife last week. So it goes through all the different cases of crime. Basically, they were able to attribute a 10.4% rise in violent crimes in the state during those 2 years exclusively, or almost exclusively, to refugees. After the study, they basically said, we're not taking any more. The Interior Minister Karl-Heinz Schroeter told the Mail that the ban on new refugees would be in effect for the next few months. So initially, it's going to be a few months, and it may be longer than that. They've had enough of it. They're saying no. Mentioned this before the break. The ISIS leader, Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, is hiding, or could be hiding, in a European country, in a Scandinavian country. Now, take a wild guess as to which Scandinavian country that may be. And it's Sweden. According to sources The Guardian has talked to, top ISIS leaders, including Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, have fled Syria and could now be hiding in Scandinavia. And if that is the case, then liberal Sweden, where the ID checks are an absolute joke and out of control, is certainly the most obvious choice. Also, as it seems likely, the first European country to soon resemble the war zone they just left. And of course, that's in a reference to the Swedish Prime Minister coming out a few days ago and saying that basically they're considering, or they would at least consider if it was proposed, putting the army on the streets of Sweden because it's so safe, it's so calm, it's so tranquil. Grenade attacks, sexual assaults. You've got the police having to install microphones in some of these no-go Muslim ghettos to pick up the screams of women because they can't have enough police. And when they do have police, they get attacked. The police station's basically a fortress in Malmo now. They can't even have windows on these places because they get attacked, they get burned down. You've seen police stations bombed. You've seen riots. You've seen cars set ablaze. You've seen the ambulance workers, the fire workers getting attacked in these migrant ghettos. To all intents and purposes, at least in these concentrated pockets, it does indeed resemble a war zone. And now they're speculating that Baghdadi himself, the leader of ISIS, could have returned what is essentially now his spiritual home of Sweden. Mentioned this when I was on with Alex. This is out of Breitbart. Health Minister, social media accounts should be linked to government-issued identity cards. Where have we seen this before? Well, we've seen it with the EU, tried to pull it off, and we've, of course, seen it with China and their social credit score. But the Irish minister responsible for mental health has suggested that all public services cards be linked to social media accounts to verify users' identities. RTE News reports that Jim Daly, the Irish minister responsible for mental health and older people, has recently called for all public services cards to be linked to the social media accounts of card users to verify their identity. Now, of course, we've seen this before, not just in China, but also with the European Union or the European Commission, more specifically in 2016, which insisted that state-issued ID cards should be used to log into social media platforms such as YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. Why would they do that? Well, one, it's to completely eviscerate anonymity on the internet. And two, if you know that everything you post on the internet is directly linked to a government ID card and maybe a social credit score, if we want to ape the communist Chinese system, maybe you would be less likely to criticize the government. Maybe you would be less likely to leave offensive comments that might upset people on social media. So no, you should never tolerate a government ID being linked to your social media account. That's completely Orwellian. It's completely draconian, and it should never happen. Absolutely incredible. Davos, where, of course, Trump is about to visit, Indian Prime Minister says attacks on globalism must be stopped. They are in complete panic mode. Giving the opening speech at the World Economic Forum's Davos summit on Tuesday, Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi told global elites that opposition to globalist policies is one of the world's foremost threats. Now, we had the big Davos elitist, I think it was last week, come out and say that Trump poses a direct threat to the centralized globalist agenda that these guys have been putting together for decades, and that that's basically going to be the entire subject of the summit in Switzerland this week. He said, quote, forces of protectionism are raising their heads against globalization. Their intention is not only to avoid globalization themselves, but they also want to reverse its natural flow. Yeah, real natural, isn't it? Being driven solely by the whim, by the will of technocrats against the interests of the ordinary man. So they're really, really panicking about that. We've also got the social media censorship. We had this up on InfoWars earlier. Facebook employee says new trust algorithm will prevent InfoWars and Breitbart gaming the system, which is pretty ironic given that Facebook in 2016 got...
Paul, I don't mean to interrupt. I just want you to know, Paul, you've done a great job. Coming up in 30 minutes, Jack Posobiec, Naval Intelligence, great connections to the White House. Our memo is real. Nunes has the redacted areas. And as we were told, it's a larger document showing the collusion and lies of the globalists. That's coming up in 30 minutes during the war room. Thank you for the great job, Paul. 30 minutes from now, we're going to suss out the actual memo and details straight ahead.
You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.